I'm asking all of my listeners, my proud supporters of our courageous men and women in blue, to join me and express your unwavering appreciation for law enforcement. Thin Blue Line USA has stylish apparel, great accessories that make a statement, and flags that fly with pride. They've got everything you need to show your support for law enforcement. Go to thinblueline.usa.com and shop a wide selection of products to show off your patriotism. Use code SID and get 15% off. Stand with me, Sid, and stand with WABC as we honor those who protect and serve. ThinBlueLineUSA.com. Once again, use the code word SID.
Boy, you're my best friend.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
For my friends.
77 WABC.
Harvey Weinstein will be back on trial this fall in New York. This after the Manhattan DA announced it will the office there will retry the case.
Last week, an appeals court threw out Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction.
A noticeably thinner, paler Harvey Weinstein entered the courtroom in a wheelchair. In February, Weinstein's attorneys argued before the New York Court of Appeals.
And our client did not get a fair trial.
Last Thursday, in a 4-3 decision, it overturned Weinstein's 23-year sentence, saying, quote, the trial court erroneously admitted testimony of uncharged alleged prior sexual acts. But in a dissent, one judge wrote the decision was endangering decades of progress in this incredibly complex and nuanced area of law regarding sex crimes. During the trial, six women testified, though he was only facing charges related to three. Weinstein was found guilty 4 years ago for forcibly performing a sex act on one woman and rape in the third degree for an attack on another woman. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg says his office will retry the case.
Having conversations with survivors, centering their well-being, and pursuing justice.
Weinstein's attorneys gave an update on his life behind bars.
Harvey Weinstein was used to drinking champagne and eating caviar, and now he's at the commissary paying for potato chips and M&Ms.
Oh, God, he's
he
a criminal,
Artie. Update on his health.
He's sharp as a tack, but physically he has been breaking down for years. Obviously, there's a new sense of energy about him.
Weinstein did smile and greet everyone he knew in the first row behind the defense table when he entered, but the 72-year-old did not speak in the courtroom. The trial is expected to begin sometime after Labor Day. Weinstein does remain behind bars for a 2022 rape conviction in Los Angeles. He is currently at Bellevue for medical care. His attorneys say that they do plan to appeal the California case.
The most intense crackdown yet on the pro-Palestinian protests on college campuses in the U.S. In Manhattan, police are arresting protesters at Fordham University's Lincoln Center campus. Students set up an encampment calling on the school to disclose and divest their investments relating to Israel. At UCLA, a more peaceful scene than the brawls that took place between protesters and counter-protesters. A spokesperson for California Governor Gavin Newsom calling the campus police response to the violence delayed, limited, and unacceptable.
The University of Wisconsin in Madison became the latest hotspot in clashes between pro-Palestinian demonstrators and police.
Back up!
More than two dozen were arrested.
We notified them that we would begin moving tents and camping equipment, and arrests would happen if protesters turned violent.
More than 300 people were arrested between Columbia University and City College. New York City Mayor Eric Adams praised the university for making what he called the right call to end the protests, which he says was co-opted by professional agitators.
There is a movement to radicalize young people, and I'm not going to wait until it's done.
What's your response to when people say they're there or they're escalating the protest because of outsiders?
They use that to try to justify the violence that the police unleashed on us. This was organized by students.
Here at Columbia, only the footprints remained of the tent encampment that was the epicenter and symbol of campus protests for the last 2 weeks.
The radical extremists and far-left agitators are terrorizing college campuses, as you possibly noticed, and Biden's nowhere to be found. He hasn't said anything.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken was back in Israel for the seventh time since the war with Hamas began last October. Blinken is pushing hard for a stop to the fighting. But CBS's Raimi Innocencio reports from Tel Aviv, progress on a deal seems out of reach.
Handshakes and smiles aside, in the quest for a ceasefire with Hamas, Secretary of State Antony Blinken shot down Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's plan for a final Gaza invasion.
We cannot, will not support a major military operation in Rafah absent an effective plan to make sure that civilians are not harmed.
But a Netanyahu advisor confirms to CBS News the prime minister is not backing down from his plan to attack Rafah.
Thank you, Biden.
A more receptive welcome came from families of hostages pleading for a ceasefire to get all hostages home.
I feel like I'm broken up into pieces.
For Aviva Siegel, her American husband Keith is one of them. Proof of life video released just days ago.
And I know that Keith has had enough. My family's had enough. My country's had enough.
Aviva herself was a hostage, released after 51 days. She, her daughter, and families of other American hostages had a face-to-face with Blinken.
What was the feeling?
Really grateful for what the United States has been doing since October
7th. What have they done?
Another sticking point to a ceasefire, aid to Gaza. Blinken toured routes being ramped up and rebuilt into the Strip and called for more.
It needs to be accelerated. It needs to be sustained.
And for the first time, aid started flowing through a reopened border crossing destroyed on October 7th.
Antony Blinken left the region back to Washington. Israel hasn't confirmed it'll send a delegation to any ceasefire talks. Hamas still hasn't replied to Israel's proposal.
You know, we never got into a war with me. I beat ISIS in record time. We never got into a war. With this guy, you'll end up in World War III. You'll end up in World War III. I'll tell you what, it's this next 6 months is going to be very scary. You could end up in World War III with this person, and he's a grossly incompetent man. We had the safest border in the history of our country, and now we have the worst border in the history of the world. There's never been a border like it. Crooked Joe Biden, in his horrible way, it's just he's made our country a dumping ground. In Venezuela, violent crime is down 67% because they took their criminals and their gang members and their drug dealers and they moved them into the United States of America, and their crime is now down 67%. That's a beauty. And right here in Michigan, your state is being torn up to pieces with migrant crime. It's a new term, migrant crime.
We'll be in your show plenty because you have a great show and you have big ratings, Sid. I don't even know if you know how good your show is, okay? But you have big ratings and you have a great show and you've been my friend for a long time and I appreciate it.
Once in your life, you find her. Someone who turns your heart around. The next thing you know, you're closing down the town. But
great Christopher Cross. This from the movie Arthur. Arthur is theme when you get caught between the moon and New York City. And even though New York City was the epicenter of these college campus issues two nights ago, when the NYPD finally, no credit for you, Mayor Adams, finally, after 12 days of sitting on your ass, Mr. Mayor, finally went in and stopped it. Right now, the epicenter, it's a wild scene. And I mean a wild scene as we speak in Los Angeles, California. Don't forget, folks, it's only 3:13 a.m., 3:13 a.m. in L.A. But right now on the campus of UCLA, there is even a much, much bigger police presence than we saw at Columbia, where I thought it was a bit much. I know Peter King disagrees, but there was a lot of cops, you know, for not a lot of people inside that Hamilton house. Here at UCLA, it is a mess. I am watching people throwing things at cops as cops are taking down these barricades. There's all kinds of stuff. I have no idea how these kids or adults, students, paid agitators, whoever they are, were able to build all these things on all these campuses. They've got tents. They've got wood put up against barricades with messages. I'm watching cops as we speak take down the tents. They're all dressed in riot gear. A couple of hundred folks, I'm hearing, have already given up at UCLA, but there are plenty that are not giving up, that are throwing things at the cops as we speak, that are getting even more violent as the cops continue to rip down this encampment in Los Angeles. It is a wild, wild scene. I know, Noma, you're watching this. Fox News is carrying it live. It is nuts. 2024. On a college campus, a bunch of these animals, pro-murder, pro-rape, were able to build this, get away with this. And now, I guess, we've all come to the realization, which I came to day one, when I told Judge Napolitano, Frank Morano, and others, this was never, ever, ever about a peaceful protest. I don't know what Mayor Adams and these other people are thinking about. I knew from the very beginning, because I told you, right here, it was never, ever, ever about a peaceful protest. It was clear this was going to be the case at some point. Just like it was very, very clear to me with a wide open border that we're not only going to get 10,000 migrants in New York City. But the mayor couldn't figure that one out either. So what happened here in New York was entirely predictable. But all over the country, what we're seeing right now, once again, at 3:15 a.m. on the campus of UCLA in Los Angeles, California, is nothing short of wild.
Yeah, I mean, when you look and when we talk about these outside agitators, and we don't know what the case is at UCLA, but for the outside agitators, they want that confrontation with cops. They relish the moment.
Yes, that's why they're there. I mean, the students eventually give up because mommy and daddy, at some point, they're going to get pissed. But those people that you're talking about, they are paid to do that, to actually commit violence, agitate, take it to the very next level. But I have no idea what the real percentage is of agitators, paid agitators, compared to students. For example, when I looked at the people that were arrested at Columbia a couple nights ago, to me it seemed like the overwhelming majority were students. Students, not paid agitators. And I have no idea what the percentage is in Los Angeles either. Either way, there are still way too many students, just everyday students, that are now being radicalized and enjoying every moment of this.
Yeah, and we do have some preliminary numbers from the NYPD suggesting that 20% of the arrests that they made Tuesday night, it was about 300 people between City College and Columbia University, about 20% of them had no affiliation to either school.
No affiliation, yeah. Okay. So that means 80% were still students.
Yeah.
That's a very high number. I mean, I saw this tweet this morning from Oil London. Have you seen this, Noam?
No.
Oil London with a picture of hundreds of kids sitting on grass at UCLA, where once again, right now, the LAPD, about 30 minutes ago, they said, you ready for this? it's go time. Now they are breaking up the UCLA encampment, which is huge, bigger than Columbia, and a lot of kids. But all these kids are sitting on the lawn, and according to Oil London, hundreds of American students convert to Islam and participate in an Islamic call to prayer on the campus at UCLA. So the radicalization is taking place when the great attorney Alan Dershowitz comes on this show a couple of days ago and says, listen, I know the terrorists are already here. I know that, but they're going to multiply in numbers because a bunch of these quote-unquote kids, not the paid agitators, kids, disenfranchised losers, they're going to join this movement. They're literally going to join Hamas. And that's what this tweet talks about on the campus yesterday at UCLA.
Yeah, I mean, what the NYPD was saying during the when they went in and did their raid at Hamilton Hall, that they know that a fair amount of these students are soft supporters. They're there for, you know, for the party, essentially. And those were the people who, of course, gave up very quickly. And then they did do battle with some of these people. My guess is a fair amount of those people were not people connected to the university.
No, I think you're probably right. I mean, again, I'm looking at umbrellas, wood, tents, these scumbags, again, as I mentioned yesterday, for the most part, fat, ugly. They just look disgusting with their stupid, dirty kafirs. A lot of them are wearing masks, and I'm talking about masks you would wear during COVID, not the ones that cover your whole face, just your mouth. But it looks ugly. Here is the mayor, Eric Adams, talking about all the arrests and the radicalization. And he goes on to say that he's not going to wait. I'm not going to wait for this to happen. Well, let me ask you this, genius. What the hell did you do the last 2 weeks? Well, I kept coming on the air every day saying, hey, Adams, go in there. No, I can't go until they call me. Oh, really? If it was a Ku Klux Klan on the lawn protesting black people, would you wait for the president of the university to call you? I don't think so. So when he talks about, I'm not going to wait, what exactly did Eric Adams do the last 2 weeks? He waited. Here is Eric Adams, cut number 10, Lewis.
At the request of Columbia University, after speaking with them throughout the week, at their request and their acknowledgement that outside agitators were on their grounds training and really co-opting this movement. At their request, we went in and conducted an operation to allow Columbia University to remove those who have turned the peaceful protest into a place where anti-Semitism and anti-Israel attitudes were pervasive. Approximately 300 people were arrested at Columbia and City College. We are processing the arrests to distinguish between who were actual students and who were not supposed to be on the ground. And we pointed out yesterday, these external actors with a history of escalating situations and trying to create chaos.
They did.
Not to peacefully protest, but create chaos.
Now, shut up. Now, again, I go back to day one. How could a bunch of kids covering their faces out there supporting a terrorist group that raped and murdered a bunch of innocent Israelis on a holiday, a Saturday Shabbat morning? How could that possibly be a peaceful protest? Somebody please explain that to me. Here's more of Eric Adams talking about radicalizing these young students. Eric Adams, cut number 9.
When I first started seeing the protests take place in the city, it just did not fit right. I saw similar indicators from the Black Lives Matters march when it was brought to my attention that there were those who came to the city to disrupt our city, and she was able to, through her team, was able to conduct an investigation, and what I feared was actually materialized and actualized by those who were on the ground. And I know that there are those who are attempting to say, well, the majority of people may have been students. You don't have to be the majority to influence and co-op an operation. That is what this is about. And so if we want to play the word police, You could do so. I'm going to play the New York City police, but we're going to protect our city from those who are attempting to do what is happening globally. There is a movement to radicalize young people, and I'm not going to wait until it's done and all of a sudden acknowledge the existence of it.
Right.
This is a global problem. Sure. Young people are being influenced.
Shut him off. He's not going to wait. That's exactly what he did. So there are numbers out there, reports, that maybe upwards of 60 to 70% are paid pro-agitators. There's no way that's the case. So I don't know who has the real numbers, not the real numbers, who's telling the truth, who's not telling the truth. But no one has followed this more closely than me. Nobody has followed the whole Israel-Hamas conflict closer than me. Nobody from day one. All these events. And I've been right about everything. Have I not known everything?
You've been pretty on target, yeah.
I told you from day one, these quote-unquote peaceful protests were going to get ugly, and they did. There's no way that was 70%. If you told me 20 to 30% were paid agitators, that I'll buy. But I'm watching these scenes. I'm watching these people getting arrested. They look like kids. Most of them look like kids. Either way, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's like when Mayor Adams goes, you know, there's not really a crime problem in New York because it's all recidivists. It's only 3,000 people committing crimes. But what does that mean? They're still out there committing crimes. You don't get a benefit of the doubt because it's a small number of people committing crimes. Not until you fix bail reform and these people stay in jail. While these people are out on the streets, crime is crime. Whether it's 3,000 people or 3 million people. Eric Adams has a habit of making everything sound not as bad. Well, the city's not that bad. It's about recidivism. I don't care. Push somebody in front of the train. They die. It doesn't matter what the criminal is. A crime happened. It doesn't matter whether they're paid agitators or students. A crime happened. But if you notice, Mayor Adams' philosophy, his strategy is, let me make it sound not so bad. Like most of our students didn't do this. Wrong. Most of the crime is committed by 3,000 people. So what? It's still happening. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He seems to downplay everything like, oh, it's not that bad. It's horrendous. It's horrendous. You sat around with your finger up your ass for 2 weeks while Columbia was taken over. And now, outside police headquarters, outside Foley Square, Lincoln Center, Fordham University, it's everywhere. There were 19 rallies last night. My daughter Ava stayed in the city. She was afraid to go outside. What are you talking about? It's not that bad. You know, these are paid agitators. I don't care who they are. It doesn't matter. Fix it. God damn it, fix it. Stop telling me who they are, who they aren't. It's only 3,000. I don't care how many people are recidivists or not. I want the crime to stop. I want the anti-Semitism to stop. Don't make excuses. Just fix it. If you have all the answers and it's that simple, then it should be easy to fix. And it's not. Any of this make sense, Lou?
While he was waiting and waiting and waiting, the obvious is it got worse.
It got worse.
And worse and
worse.
Of course. And worse.
Of course.
It's the same thing as when you do not show consequences for crimes, people just skate.
Consequences? Look at Lou's point. Great point, Lou.
Skate.
So they arrest all these kids. So what happens? These are students now. I looked at them yesterday. They were students. They were fat, ugly students. Tons of them sitting outside the police headquarters in New York City. And what happened? You know, the police arrested 300 people. They kept them, some of them, you know, for like 12 hours, but a lot of them were out right away in a couple of hours. And one by one, as these troublemakers, at the very least, maybe terrorists, left the building, you had a bunch of students sitting outside cheering and clapping like they just returned home from war. I swear to God.
Each one that was released.
Each one. Every time somebody walked out, they raised their fist in the air like Phil Simms after throwing a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and they got a rousing round of applause from a bunch of low-life kids sitting on the street. Why do they allow these kids to sit in the street in front of police headquarters? Why do they allow all this to happen?
One of them actually was quoted, I think Noam played the of saying, well, yeah, I'll get arrested, and just like the criminals in the city, I'll be out in a couple of hours.
That's right. They all know it.
They know it.
They
Everybody
know
it.
So,
knows it.
So let me make this very, very clear to Mayor Adams. I don't care what number you give me for recidivism. Just find a way to stop the crime. I don't care how many people were students or paid agitators. Find a way to stop the anti-Semitism and these nasty, nasty pro-Palestinian rallies. Stop making excuses and do your damn job. That's my editorial on this whole thing. And that's why I'm number one. You know what I'm saying, Noam?
I hear you.
I want these UCLA cops to beat the hell out of you, too. How about that, Layton?
I'm watching them. They're doing a good job in Los Angeles right at the moment.
Yeah, they are. They are not taking any prisoners. Got a big guest list today, Mike Lawler. We got two great congressmen coming up in the first 2 hours, and both Mike Lawler and Anthony D'Esposito, Curtis Sliwa, Bill O'Reilly, Jeff Lax. Oh, big Thursday morning right here with me, Sid, and a lot of Donald Trump. God, I love Trump. That man yesterday went to Wisconsin, went to Michigan, and I got a text from his girl Margot Martin, an Instagram, I should say. He was on the George Washington Bridge at 9:30 last night, and he's back in court again this morning. Campaign was in three states yesterday. Donald Trump. More of Sid and Friends in the morning on this Thursday morning, exclusively right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
If you've had an accident, trust Gabo Law, personal injury and medical malpractice attorneys with decades of experience who will provide the attention you deserve and deliver the best possible results in the shortest amount of time. Gabo Law has recovered millions for their clients and will be able to help you. But don't take our word for it. Read all of their five-star reviews from former clients on Google, Avvo, and Facebook. Call Gabo Law today at 800-560-0214 for a free consultation or email at info@gabolaw.com. Gabo Law, where winning is no accident.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Cut.
got to tell you, I love seeing the police arrest these idiots, these kids with their stupid earrings and their noses and their different color hair. I've seen a bunch of them at UCLA. These are kids, folks. These are not paid agitators. These are kids. And I am watching them being walked out one by one. Here's a guy that may be paid. I'm watching all this live on Fox News. The police have moved in to the UCLA encampment. They are not kidding around here, folks. Again, you know, they have to zip tie somebody, throw them to the ground. They're doing it. And that's what they should be doing. Smoke bombs are going off. There are strobe lights everywhere. It looks like a war zone. It really does. The university, UCLA, which is a gorgeous campus. I've been there many, many times. In fact, when I filmed that movie about the Gemini Lounge a couple of years ago with Danny A, we stayed in Beverly Hills, me, Danielle, and Gabriel, and we went to that mall right there, the Westerfield Mall, right off of Sunset. And we walked around by UCLA, and it is a gorgeous campus and a gorgeous area, but it is a mess right now. Now, look, there are still a bunch of these people. Many have turned themselves in. Those are the kids. Here's how you know, folks. When you turn yourself in, you're the kid. When you fight, odds are, some of those are kids too, but odds are you're a paid agitator, whatever they call them now. And they've got some of those. A lot have already turned themselves in at UCLA, but there are some that are still fighting. They're blocking the police from coming in, and those are the folks that are about to get beaten up good, and they deserve it. I want these people to get their faces bashed in. I really do. I want to see these people who are resisting arrest, these people who are not listening, that are taking part in turning our society into a complete mess. I want to see some real repercussions. You know, I'm not encouraging violence, but the police need to do what they need to do. So they're zip tying their hands behind their backs. There are smoke bombs, like I said, going off. It is just complete mayhem. Strobe lights everywhere, and still a ton of folks. Now, some guy who's there on the ground for Fox News is saying, despite what it looks like, because it looks very chaotic, he's saying that it is absolutely under control. But, I mean, I'm looking at police. It looks like National Guard. There's a ton. There is an unbelievably large presence there in California. But according to the Fox News person on the ground, they have it under control. I see a bunch of these animals under a sign right now that reads, UCLA faculty and staff, we stand with your students. And that's the other issue. Those faculty members, those are not paid agitators, folks. Got to stop with that. That's just a way out. That's a way out and kind of takes the pressure off the kids, which I don't want to do. These faculty members are the worst at every one of these schools. Every one of these schools, they are complicit in all this hate, whether it's Columbia, New York University, City College. I went to Baruch. I'm embarrassed for City College, the City University of New York, all these schools.
I saw yesterday at Fordham there was about 15 to 20 faculty members locking arms, protecting the encampment.
100% protecting encampments, you know, showing their solidarity for the students and this murderous cause. I mean, this is bad. This goes way above George Soros. Yes, how do you get the money for the tents? Yes, how do you get money for other ways of keeping these things going for weeks now? That is Soros or the Muslim Brotherhood. I don't know what these people are, who they are, but they are out there. There's no question about it. But that's not the scary part. The scary part is the thousands and thousands and thousands of our kids that are out there, A, promoting a murderous cause, and B, willing to give up their whole futures, their whole lives, but they don't have to. Just imagine if the repercussion was your name is going to be on a list. You're going to be expelled from your college today. Your name is going to be on a list and you'll never work in this country. I'm not sure that'll even work. But just imagine something like that. Not you're going to go to jail for 3 hours, walk out to a crowd applauding you, and go home and bang your boyfriend. What kind of sentence is that? What is that?
But they're in an environment, like you've touched on, where there's lots of students like that, and they think they're fighting for a cause.
Of course.
And but they're not educated enough to know what the heck they are, but they're malleable enough to just not think on their own.
Well, you know, we've seen an example now of the school shooter, the kid in Michigan who killed four kids. Now we've seen an example where they arrested the school shooter's parents. And just about 2 weeks ago, Noam, as we know, they sentenced the shooter's parents. They weren't even there. And the mom and dad both got 15 years. I'm starting to think that the parents of some of these kids, I swear to God, the parents of these kids need to go to jail. I mean, what in God's name are they doing? You know, like I said, if Gabe goes and makes a duty, I know where he is. Now, do I know where Ava and Gabe are every second of every day? No. But something tells me if they were wearing kefirs, which would never happen, and sitting outside a university asking for Jews to be wiped out and death to Americans, I think I would know about that. No, no?
I would think so. And the part that also sort of surprises me, can you imagine these kids, how hard they work to get into Columbia? It's like the hardest, one of the hardest schools to get into in the nation, and then to blow it because they've all been expelled now is, it sort of boggles my mind that you work so hard and now you got to go find another place to go to school.
But yeah. Aren't people still going to look at Columbia in the same light and look at and see what a mess it's become, like a lot of the New York universities
have. Look, I hope all these schools lose their funding and have to shut their doors. If you said to me today Columbia ceases to exist, I couldn't care less. You know, I told this to somebody a couple days ago. If you would have told me 20 years ago, Ava's 20, Gabe is 15. If you would have told me 20 years ago, one of my children, if not both, were going to Harvard or Yale or Columbia, I would have said, my God, what naches. How amazing would that be? Now? No thanks. In fact, if I'm a parent of a child right now that's a very, very good high school student and has his or her choice to go anywhere in the country, I don't envy that parent because I have no idea where I want my kid to go because the best schools are no good.
You have no idea what's going on in the university. You really don't know what's going on inside the classroom. You don't know what's being taught. You do not know. It's just that's the way. Now you're actually seeing it's being revealed what's going on, Yale or any of these. Does it matter what the name is?
It doesn't matter anymore.
But state schools are doing. That's why you see at U of F, it's a state school. You know, so they do a better job.
Yeah, but that's a Florida school.
Right, of course.
Ron DeSantis says, we'll drag you out. We'll expel you right away. Ron DeSantis doesn't wait for the president of FAU to give him a call.
Right.
Hey, Ronnie, what are you doing today? Maybe the cops want to stop by.
You know,
I mean, this mayor in this city, these Democrat-run cities, they're embarrassing.
Yesterday was decision day for college students to pick, you know, drop day. You had to pick a college to go to. And it was interesting to hear from Jewish families across the country who say some of them altered their plans because they saw what was going on in those college campuses and they were worried that they wouldn't be protected there. And so they might have had this elite school they had in mind they wanted to go to, and then they changed their mind.
I don't want to make this political, but maybe I do. So one of those Jewish parents, these Democrat Jews, my people, I love my people, but we're our own worst enemy. The Jews are morons, and I can say that because I'm Jewish, just like Chris Rock can make fun of black people. My people are morons. So if you happen to be a Jew listening right now and you're a Democrat, just remember, when it came time to be there for your kids, who was there first? Sid Rosenberg, Mike Lawler, Anthony D'Esposito, Bruce Blakeman, all Republicans. When it comes time to talk about your kids and their safety, who talks about it every day despite being basically in custody in court for 9 hours? Republican nominee Donald Trump. Who's missing in action? Democrat President Joe Biden. So Kevin Breslin, the rest of you people, stop telling me Democrats are decent people. It's not Republicans versus Democrats. You're stupid. It is. Democrats are garbage. They're destroying every major city, every major state, this country. What they're doing to Bibi in Israel is absolutely atrocious. What they're allowing to happen on our campuses all over the country is a crime. You bet your ass this is about politics. And there's one party doing a good job, and there's one that spends every day trying to figure out new ways to destroy us, especially in New York, where your mayor is a Democrat, your governor is a Democrat, most of your other politicians outside of four, six city council members are Democrats. So don't ask me why the city, the state, and the country is going to hell in a handbasket. Don't ask me how you fix it. You know how to fix it. Elections matter. Vote Republican. Mike Lawler, Republican, coming up next.
It's a love song. It's a cat call from the bells. There's no ice in your love. It's what you don't love twice. Cause it moves so
Sid on Sports.
Oh my goodness!
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Justin Ellick here with your bottom of the hour sports update, sponsored by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Go to peerlessboilers.com, pavilionchecklist.com to find a dealer near you. They're the world's best built boilers. Start here on the diamond in Bemore, Baltimore. Luis Gil out-dueled Corbin Burns. Oswaldo Cabrero hit a two-run homer in the fifth inning, and the Yankees topped the Baltimore Orioles 2-0. Gil now 2-1 on the year, allowed two hits, a walk, struck out five, never allowed anyone past first base over a career high. 6 1/3 innings pitched in another low-scoring game between the two top teams in the AL East. Baltimore began this four-game series with victories of 2-0 and 4-2, but Gil's performance helped the Yanks ensure they weren't going to be swept here. The game was significant enough that New York used closer Clay Holmes for the final five outs in his longest outing of the year. He struck out Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman with two on to end the eighth, then pitched around a leadoff single in the ninth for his 10th save and 11 chances. From the trainer's room, manager Aaron Boone said Gerrit Cole in his right elbow had a, quote, pretty heavy throwing day on Tuesday, but was not on the mound. Boone also said Alex Verdugo might be back for today's series finale after going on the paternity list. First pitch for that finale in Baltimore is set for 1:05 p.m. this afternoon, with Carlos Rodon ready to take the hill for New York. Out in Queens, the Mets got shut out by the Cubs at home, losing a nail-biter by a score of 1-0 after Pete Alonso was cut down at home plate on a potential game-tying sack fly off the bat of Jeff McNeil. The silver lining for the Mets was starting pitcher Jose Buto. Gave up four hits in six innings for the Mets, whose starting pitchers have posted a 1.33 ERA in the last four games. Buto struck out six. From their trainer's room, Frankie Lindor was 0-for-1 before exiting after the second inning with flu-like symptoms. Starling Marte, who didn't play Tuesday after being activated from the bereavement list, went 0-for-4 in his first action since Friday. Also, Kodai Senga and his shoulder felt good after throwing a live batting practice Monday. He's slated to do the same thing on Saturday. First pitch for the finale of the series scheduled for 1:10 this afternoon. The Mets are going with Adrian Hauser on the bump, trying to salvage a series split. Keeping up with our very own Staten Island Ferry Hawks, the Hawks defeated the Long Island Ducks 4-2 on 12 hits. They'll look to complete a sweep on Long Island tonight, with action set to begin around 6:35 p.m. tomorrow. Friday, May 3rd, is opening day for the Staten Island Ferry Hawks at home, and 77 WABC is thanking our loyal listeners with free tickets. Tickets are available while supplies last. So go now to wabcradio.com/ferryhawks for your free pair of tickets. On the hardwood in the NBA, the Knickerbockers take their 3-2 series lead back to Philadelphia, where they'll try once more to put away the 76ers tonight. Tip off there, scheduled for 9 p.m. That's sports, sponsored by Pete Morgan of Peerless Boilers. Go to peerlessboilers.com, pavilionchecklist.com to find a deal under you. They're the world's best built boilers. I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
We'll
favorite groups ever, Foreigner, Urgent, and I love Lou Gramm. He's got a great voice. He's the lead singer of this band, and my man Lou Ruffino, something tell me, something going on with Big Louis today. What do we got, Louis?
74 years old today.
Lou Gramm, 74, and lead singer of Foreigner.
Just got nominated into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, so they got to be in. No, they got to be in.
Yeah, well, they vote on it later this year.
Oh, they got to be in.
You know where he was born, actually? It's weird. I didn't even know this.
Brooklyn.
You're north. Got to go north.
Monticello.
Now I think you got to go east or Rochester.
Oh, Rochester. How about that?
Isn't that weird?
I think Johnny Resnick.
No, I think you're right.
I know he lived in Buffalo.
Yeah, I think he's New York, too.
I think so, too.
Well, let's look it up. I'll find
police entering the UCLA encampment. That's the big story right now. Took these animals a week to build it. Going to take the cops about a day to take it down. Flashbangs. All kinds of stuff going on there. They've got tear gas, smoke bombs, flashbangs. It looks like a war zone at UCLA. You know, Richie Torres, I'm not a big fan of Richie Torres because of the way he talks about Trump, and he's a Democrat. And even the most common sense of Democrats, I believe, are dangerous. But when it comes to the Israel conflict, Richie Torres is pretty good. In fact, he's very good. And they're giving all kinds of credit today on the local news for a bill that he introduced called the Anti-Semitism Monitor. But well, wait a second. If they should be giving anybody credit today for any bills, it should be the great Republican congressman out of Rockland County, my friend Mike Lawler, because the House approved a bill Wednesday that seeks to crack down on anti-Semitism on college campuses, a measure that hit the floor just as pro-Palestinian protests royal universities across the country. It's actually called the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. Now, they win this one 320-91. I'd love to know the 91 people that voted against it. So with that said, here he is, my friend, the Rockland County Congressman, Mike Lawler. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Sid. How are you?
I'm good. First of all, congratulations on getting this bill passed through. Again, pretty easy, 320-90, but I'd love to know who the 90 were that were against it. Something tells me 70 or 80 of that 90 had to be Democrats, yes?
That's correct. 70 Democrats and 21 Republicans.
So what was the 70 Democrats, even the idiot 21 Republican, what was their issue with the bill trying to stop anti-Semitism?
Well, I would say among the 70 Democrats, you clearly had some anti-Semites among them. You know, the 21 Republicans, primarily, they were concerned about free speech issues. But you know, at the end of the day, I think what we're seeing on these college campuses is a result of two things. Number one, just rampant anti-Semitism, festering. And number two, a failure on the part of these administrators and the Department of Education to crack down on it. And so what we try to do in this bill, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, is clearly define what anti-Semitism is and provide examples of it so that there's better understanding and ability to enforce Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and make sure that Jewish students aren't being targeted on campus, as we saw at Columbia when you and I were there, Sid, a little over a week ago. And when I went back with Speaker Johnson, it's unconscionable what has happened on these college campuses in America. You know, Sid, I went to the Nova exhibition on Monday.
Oh, you did go. They're down by Wall Street, right across the street from Trump's building.
Yes. I went with Jared Moskowitz, a Democrat from Florida, and we went and toured it. And, you know, when you see the remnants of that day, October 7th, and the Nova Festival, and the hundreds of innocent young lives slaughtered simply because they're Jews. The reality is that level of hatred is taught. It's taught in schools in Gaza. They are taught to hate Jews, to want to kill Jews, and unfortunately, to kill Jews. Yeah. And what we're seeing on college campuses here is they are being taught to hate them simply because they're Jewish. And it's all being permitted under the guise of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But Hamas is a terrorist organization that indiscriminately kills. It uses innocent Palestinians as human shields. And so when you hear these young kids chanting, you know, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, what they're calling for is the eradication of the state of Israel.
That's a hate crime.
The elimination of the Jewish people.
That's a hate crime right there. Sing that, and look, I'll take it a step further. I posted something on my Instagram page at rosenberg.sydney a couple of days ago for the mayor and other people in the city, just in case you guys forgot. Not only have I been to the Nova here in New York, but I went to the actual site in Israel back in January. I was there with Justin Ellick. And stepping on those grounds. They were not just murdered there, by the way. They were sexually raped and tortured. Some of these girls were gangbanged before they had their throats slit. It wasn't just murder. It was a lot worse than that. And I put it out there so they can see, not just on Wall Street in New York City, that's fine, but in Israel, where all this happened. And that's why when people were arguing with me early on that this was a freedom of speech right, well, there's no way that a cause like this, which involves murder and rape of innocent people, can ever result in a peaceful protest. So what's happened here has not surprised me, and I get angry with officials, city officials like Eric Adams, who talk about, well, this was a peaceful protest that went bad from day one. This was going to go bad. You had to know that.
Of course. Look, this has been going on long before October 7th. And in the aftermath of October 7th, it has exploded. And these college administrators and elected officials have been feckless in cracking down on this. Everyone has the right to free speech and they have the right to protest. That is constitutionally protected. But the moment it turns violent or there's threats of violence or you impede somebody else's rights, you lose that right. And what we've seen on these campuses where you have the leader of the protest at Columbia chanting and calling for death to Zionists, where you have people yelling, you know, death to America, death to Israel, where they're calling for an intifada, where they're calling for Jews to go back to Poland. Jews were forced out of Poland, okay? And those that didn't make it out were slaughtered, killed. And these folks are so ignorant and so stupid. And, you know, as I've said many times, this is the participation trophy generation. When you actually hear some of these kids speak and what they're arguing for, I mean, I'm sorry, they break into the library at Columbia and then hold a press conference to demand food,
yeah.
to demand
yeah.
water.
Yeah.
These spoiled, entitled little brats
yeah.
need to be told no. Enough.
Yeah.
They've never been told no in their life. And that's part of the reason why you're seeing. And when you have Hamas endorsing these folks, when Speaker Johnson and I were at Columbia with Anthony D'Esposito and Nicole Meliotakis, when we were standing there, Hamas endorsed the protests and said, this is the next generation. If this is the next generation of America, God help us.
You would think that AOC, that moron, hateful moron, and her friend Ilhan Omar, her daughter was one of those folks arrested, complained about being homeless and having nothing to eat and nothing to drink. Thank God for that. Talib, you would think they would come to the realization what you just said. Hamas actually congratulated all these students and agitators. Again, I think the percentage is probably 80 to 20 actual students to paid folks. It doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter when Hamas is congratulating you and Iran came out and congratulated these students as well. Why would you ever want to be on the same side as Hamas and Iran?
There's no question. And China congratulating as well. China, they have, you know, some of the biggest human rights violations, committing genocide in their own country. It's truly unconscionable. This is a sick, pervasive ideology that has permeated America, and we need to root it out. It is dangerous. It is destructive to our country. And this is far left radical progressivism that you're seeing unfold before our eyes.
Yeah.
And there's no question. There were paid agitators on these campuses.
Of course.
In some cases, far outnumbering the students. It's total insanity what is happening. And that's why when we met with President Shafik, we told her, you cannot negotiate with these people. You must call the NYPD, get them in here, and put an end to this. And she was telling us how that was a mistake, that she did that on the first day, and it's only gotten worse. I mean, are you kidding me? This, you're trying to negotiate with people who have embraced Hamas?
Yeah, I disagree that some of these campuses, the agitators are more than the students, because you only need a couple of agitators with some money and some influence to have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids to go, oh, yeah, this looks cool. So I disagree with that. I haven't really seen any real numbers to indicate that. Again, I seem to think maybe 20, maybe at the most 25% of all these people are paid agitators. And most of these kids are disenfranchised, angry, depressed losers. And they, you know, it's 1968 all over again. Back then it was the Vietnam War and the draft, but this is their cause this time around. I mean, this is nothing new. We've seen kids on college campuses do stuff like this in just about every generation. The difference is this one is really ugly because they're supporting people who rape young women, murder adults, and throw live babies into ovens.
Well, and by the way, if any of them actually showed up in Gaza, they would be victim to all of that. And that's what they don't seem to grasp. But this, you know, history repeats itself. There's no question. You look at 1968, 1969. Father Hesburgh, the president of Notre Dame, sent a letter to faculty and students during a time of civil unrest. And he said, you have every right to protest. You have every right to voice your opinion. You have every right to object to decisions made by the government. But the moment those protests turn violent or threats of violence emerge, you lose that right. You will have 15 minutes to meditate on your conduct and cease and desist. And if you do not cease and desist and disperse, in 15 minutes, we will ask for your ID. If you have an ID, you will be suspended. If you don't have an ID, you will be arrested for trespassing. And if after 5 minutes after that, you're still there, you will be expelled and arrested. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You need leaders who will stand up for what is right and restore order in this country. This is absolutely out of control. We're seeing it across the country, not just on college campuses. The lawlessness that's going on in cities like New York, you know, $4 billion in retail theft last year. There are no consequences. This is why the country is falling apart, because nobody is held to account for their conduct, their behavior, the things they say and do.
Final 60 seconds. Marjorie Taylor Greene was going nuts again yesterday, and you know, it's clear she can't stand Mike Johnson, but this is getting nuts. I mean, you guys got rid of McCarthy. Not you. You weren't part of that coup, but you got rid of McCarthy. You know, you couldn't get Jordan in. You couldn't get Scalise in. You finally get Johnson in. And I think Johnson is doing a great job. Now, look, I understand money to the border is of utmost importance, but it's not Mike Johnson's fault that dick-faced Chuck Schumer's got H.R. 2 on his desk for over a year and refuses to look at it. So this idea that every couple of weeks or months, Marjorie and other members of the House want to throw out the speaker is no good. That is about as chaotic as what's going on these college campuses. So I like what she believes in, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I agree with her, but the way she goes about it is ridiculous. She's not going to win, is she?
No, she's not going to win. And by the way, I mean, she's sitting here complaining about, quote unquote, Democrats will have to save Mike Johnson. It's the Uniparty. Guess what? She would need every single Democrat to remove Mike Johnson. That's how absurd this whole thing is. Look, I want border security, all right? I voted for H.R. 2. I voted for a continuing resolution that had H.R. 2. I introduced a bill to secure our border. But at the end of the day, if you can't work as a team, if you can't pass a rule, if you can't pass legislation as a House Republican majority, and then you don't have the ability to negotiate. And they have weakened the speaker's ability to negotiate on these things by acting like a bunch of jackasses. And this is exactly why, the majority has been imperiled by people who refuse to cooperate as a team. None of us are going to get everything we want. It's not realistic in life. It's not realistic in marriage. It's certainly not realistic in politics.
Especially when you've got such a razor thin majority inside the House.
It's a one seat majority, and in part because of the chaos that some of these people have sowed. Instead of working as a team, we could have got border security if these people worked as a team and passed a bill as a Republican conference, and then the speaker could have went and negotiated.
Yeah.
We know Chuck Schumer's not going to pass border security. He's not serious about it. He's had H.R. 2 for almost a year sitting on his desk. So we know he's not going to do that. We know Biden doesn't care about securing the border. His policies have created the mess that we're facing. But if you can't work as a Republican conference because you have a handful of people who refuse to cooperate, then the speaker is weakened in his ability to negotiate. It's common sense.
Mike Lawler, you're all about common sense. I can't say enough good things about you. I mean it. You're a great congressman, smart guy, and one of my all-time favorites. So thank you for hopping on this morning, and keep doing what you're doing, speaking on behalf of the Jewish people in Israel. We really appreciate you, Mike. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sid. My pleasure.
My man, Mike Lawler right there, Republican congressman out of Rockland County, wraps up hour number one. We're going to talk to another Republican congressman who I also love, not out of Rockland County, out of Long Island, my man Anthony D'Esposito later on this hour. But when we come back after knowing with the news, the best in the business, the man, and hopefully, if I can help it, hopefully the next mayor, it's not going to be me, the next mayor of New York City, the great Curtis Sliwa. Keep it right here. Hour number two about to come your way.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sit in Friends in the Morning,
77 WABC.
Visiting is pretty. Visiting is good. Seems that all they ever wanted was a brother.
7:23 now. So my daughter Ava, she got this friend. Her name is Maya. Maya is a professional surfer and grew up in Rockaway, of course, by us. And she actually competes all over the world. She spends about 9 months a year with her family in Puerto Rico, where she trains and competes. She's competed most recently, I think, in El Salvador, Brazil. Lovely young lady. Good friend of Ava's. Turns out her parents, Conrad and Uma, last name Carl, like the former Denver Nugget head coach George Carl, own restaurants. We've got one in Puerto Rico and one right by me on 92nd Street, Lewis, a couple blocks away from Witt's, and it's called Uma's, right around the corner from the 100th Precinct. And we went there last night for dinner, and the food is great. Now, the wife, Uma, is from Uzbekistan, and this is Uzbekistan cooking, style of cooking. And we had a great dinner. Now, Ava wasn't with us. It was me, Danielle, Conrad, Uma, and their daughter, Maya. But there's a place for you, Lou, a new place this summer for you and MJ, Uma's on 92nd Street and Rockaway Beach. You're going to love it.
I'll be there.
Great place. I had a great dinner there last night. Now, somebody sent me this. I mentioned earlier that I believe, and I don't have any facts to back it up, but I'm a pretty smart guy. I believe that at most, 25% of the people causing these issues are paid agitators, maybe even less, because I can tell you, I watch what's going on. These are kids. These are kids. They're not paid agitators. But I met a guy here a couple of days ago up in John Catsimatidis' office, Congressman Ron Estes from Kansas. Great guy. Great guy. Great American. Loved him. But he's saying that the outside agitators make up 75%. He's nuts. Folks, don't read that and take that as law. He's nuts. That is maybe the silliest thing I've ever... Curtis is cracking up. That is maybe the silliest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, you keep thinking that, Congressman.
And when we do stuff like that, once again, what we're doing is, A, excusing our kids, which is not okay. B, making stuff like what Eric Adams says is actually true, which is not true because he lies at every opportunity. Just watch what's going on, folks. Just watch. Maybe 20% are paid agitators.
No.
What do you think, Curtis?
5%.
No, it's more than that.
Yeah, no, it's 5%. Sid, nobody...
Either way, you and I agree that the overwhelming majority... Now, look, all you need are a couple of paid agitators to build some wood and to buy a couple of tents. You don't need millions and billions of dollars, and Soros and those groups have that. We both agree.
Don't get distracted.
Overwhelming majority are students,
Sid,
and you only need a couple of paid agitators to make it look worse.
Stay focused, because we know where the epicenter of this anti-Semitic activity is. First off, let me deal with Congressman Lawler. The Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, 321-91. He mentioned 70 Democrats. He said some are anti-Semites. 21 Republicans voted against it. But
that's right.
It was free
70
speech.
70 Democrats, right. 21 Republicans.
Well, free speech issues. Bull feathers. Like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who posted on her Facebook that the wildfires in California were started by secret Jewish space lasers. Hey, Lawler, guess what? D. Esposito, you got anti-Semites in your own ranks, just like the Democrats do. Don't do a Pontius Pilate. Oh, it's free speech issues. I've said it before. It's in Gentiles' DNA, anti-Semitism. It's global. So let's deal with this. Let's say it was an anti-black hatred awareness act. Do you think anybody would vote against that?
Anti-black?
Yeah, anti-black hatred awareness act.
I've only said 10 times, if it was a Ku Klux Klan sitting on the grass at Columbia, beating up, or even not beating up, intimidating black students, it would have taken Eric Adams 12 minutes, not 12 days. So for the Mark Levins out there, I'm going to be on his show tomorrow night. I'm disappointed in Mark. And who's on at 4 o'clock? Buster Olney, what's his name?
Golden.
Yeah, for those Bo guys Snurley. To be congratulating Mayor Eric Adams when he sat around for 12 days with his finger up his ass, to your point, if it was black students being intimidated
let's
like Jews,
say,
they would have been there in 15
let's
minutes.
Let's just say Richie Torres and Lola had put up the Anti-Black Hatred Awareness Act in the House. How many negative votes would there have been?
None.
Thank you. All right, let's get down to where the center of this anti-Semitic activity is. And don't get unfocused. Columbia University, 55% of their students are here on student visas. They're not even Americans. So just cut right to the chase. You're here on a student visa and you're protesting against our government. Get the hell out of here. That's it. But you got to go to ICE, L'Immigre, Immigration and Naturalization Service. Our state, our city will not cooperate with them. Don't get unfocused here. Plus, now all of a sudden you're going to send cops 24/7 on the campus to May 17th so the parents can get the picture that justifies $400,000 a day to pay for a BS education? No. Make them put $1 billion into the police budget that was taken out by one of their own proud alumni. Comrade Bill de Blasio went to Columbia. Oh, do we forget that? How quickly we forget. Slowly I turn, step by step. June 30th, 2022. City Councilwoman Ina Vernikoff was holding hearings in City Council in which Jewish professors and students, that's 2 years ago, were testifying that they had been targeted on CUNY campuses for being Jews. They feared for their physical and emotional well-being.
And actually, before Ina did that, the person that started all that, I got to give him credit, he's going to join me coming up at 9:15 this morning, is Jeff Lacks, who worked at Kingsborough Community Community College. And 3 years ago, before Eno was doing that, Jeff Lacks came to me and said, I would love it for you to speak at the commencement for Kingsborough. You're the most famous Kingsborough graduate ever. And they turned me down. Yes. And according to Jeff, he believes it's because I'm Jewish.
Yeah, because you're not a self-hating Jew. You know, if you would wear a keffiyeh and a yarmulke, right, and have talus on, oh, yeah, they'd let you speak. Now, Felix Matos Rodriguez, never trust anybody with three names, is the chancellor of CUNY. He did not appear at that hearing. The mayor could have made him appear at that hearing. The mayor appoints the chancellor. The mayor was missing in action. Let's take it up a year. Remember what happened all of a sudden? The mayor shows up at Queens College, May 2023, to the graduation and commencement for the City of New York Law School. Remember, the students turned their backs on him and gave him the finger. And he said, I'm not going to put up with this. I'm going to remove their funding. I'm going to take care of that dean of the School of Law that sued a SETI. Remember? And then you had Ted Cruz said, yeah, let's remove the funding. Republican city councilman, congressman, let's remove the funding. And let's face it, they're dependent on government funding, right? Not a private university. We're going to make them pay for this. What happened? Fatima Muhammad from Yemen gave a speech, and in that graduation speech, she thanked the CUNY schools for defending the right of its students to organize and speak out against Israeli settler colonialism a year ago, and nothing has happened.
And you remember, I was furious. I came in the next day, and I stuck on that story for weeks, Curtis. You were with me, and I begged and pleaded to fire the dean of students at New York Law,
and they did nothing about it. Did they remove
nothing.
Their funding?
No!
This is typical of politicians. I don't trust any politicians. They have a press conference. They pass a resolution, a law. They're all full of bullshit. So, because then, look, June 15th of 2023, the End Jew Hatred rally outside of the headquarters of CUNY's chancellor, and that was on 42nd Street. You had Dov Hyken on the air from Israel. Dov was supposed to be there. He said, Curtis, to me, in studio, I can't be there. Would you please go and represent me and speak on my behalf at the End Jew Hatred rally? Because CUNY, for 2 years, has been the hotbed of anti-Semitism.
Two of my very good friends, Abraham Hamra and Joey Borgen, who took a vicious, almost life-ending beating at the hands of six or seven of these Palestinians here in New York, actually ran that meeting. You're right. Dove was in Israel, and who showed up? Guyam.
June 15th of 2023. They knew I was there to speak on Dove's behalf because they all listen to Sid Rosenberg in the morning like everybody else here on WABC, the most powerful morning show, not just in our region, in the nation from coast to coast. So they're saying, we're having a powerful rally now. We're going to put the pressure on the chancellor, Felix Matos Rodriguez. The crowd says, let Curtis speak. It's Dov Hyken's wish. Let Curtis speak. I would have told the whole history. 2 years you've allowed the anti-Semitism at taxpayers' expense fester in the CUNY system. Oh, but we don't want to offend Erica Adams. Tepid. Weak Jews. Oh, we don't want to offend Erica. You know, you remember that, right?
I remember. I told them they're making a mistake. In fact, when they honored me at the Fifth Avenue Synagogue, and my friend Gilad Erdan, the ambassador, UN ambassador, showed up to give me the award that night. And the aforementioned Dov Hyken spoke that night, honored me. So did Dr. Ira Lizzie Savetsky. You showed up, and I said to the guy that ran that event, I said, Curtis is going to speak because whether he's Jewish or not, and don't forget, two of his kids have been bar mitzvahed. There are not many voices in New York that are more pro-Jewish, more Israel than Curtis Sliwa. And not only did you speak that night, Curtis, but you were great.
And by the way, the other day, and they're getting credit for this, the police department flew the American flag to replace the Palestinian flag.
It was nice, fine. Right. It was nice.
But on the main...
Not exactly on top of the wreckage 9-11, but it was nice.
But the CUNY campus, the main one in Harlem, right? They should have flown the white flag. Because for 2 years, you have allowed Eric Adams and the city council and our congresspeople and our senators and all the politicals out there who control funding for CUNY. It is a city university. It is not a private university. You swore you would cut the funding. You swore you would get rid of Sudaceti, the dean. You have no idea. These are not outside agitators. I'm going to name and shame today on the Rip and Read. I'm not going to play this political game. Oh, we're going to go after private universities for their government funding. They don't need your freaking government funding, Lawler and D'Esposito. $16 billion endowment at Columbia, $8 billion at NYU. The epicenter of anti-Semitism is the CUNY colleges. You control the funding. Stop giving press conferences. Stop making excuses for your colleagues, because I'm going right into the belly of the beast. I'm going to expose who the leaders are. And yes, they are not outside agitators. They are our sons and daughters. That is the stain on our soul. And guess what? I'm starting to remove the stain. So give your press conferences, pass your resolutions, and ignore CUNY. They have their graduation May 23rd. What are you going to do about it? While they disparage Jews and Israel and spit on the American flag.
WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
It's not the time to hang our head, no matter what the situation is. So we know that they're a tough team. It's a tough environment. And we got to go in there just ready to play, do what we do, and just be ready for a battle.
I've got to take a little time. Little time to think things over. I better read between the lines in case I need it when I'm older.
The great Lou Gramm, lead singer here for Foreigner, celebrating his 74th birthday today. That was Jalen Brunson. Little radical departure from Mike Lawler, who got a bill passed in the House. Congratulations to Lawler to combat anti-Semitism. And Curtis agrees with me. I met SD Super Guy, but no one from Topeka, Kansas is going to tell me what's going on in New York City, okay? And I'm going to go with me, Noam, and Curtis over a nice congressman out of Kansas. These are not overwhelmingly agitators. They are your kids. Those are your kids out there acting like a bunch of assholes and haters. There are plenty of paid agitators, yes. That's how they get these tents and all these other things built. There's no question about it. But you only need a few of those guys to get all these kids all pumped up to do what they're doing. And I'm not going to take the onus off of the kids and the parents and make it seem like, oh, everything's fine, like Adams does, you know. There's not a lot of criminals in New York. There's only 3,000. They keep committing crimes. Okay, it doesn't matter. As long as they're on the streets, it's still dangerous here. Whether it's 3,000 or 3 million, it doesn't matter. I'm not taking the onus off the kids. These are your kids at these universities, dressing the way they're dressing, talking the way they're talking, being radicalized by these folks. Those were all students on the lawn at UCLA yesterday, hundreds of them, that were ready to actually convert to Islam. Those were not paid agitators. This is scary, man. I got a kid in college, a 15-year-old son. These are our kids. I care what Estee says in Kansas. Give me a break. But on a less important note, the Knicks, they broke my heart a couple nights ago. You know, I wasn't watching what was unfolding at Columbia. because I decided I'm taking the night off. I'm going to watch my Knicks. And it was exciting, man. They were up by six with 17 seconds left, a chance to get rid of the 76ers in five games. As I mentioned yesterday, you know, it's been a long time since the Knicks wrapped up a series on their home court. You got to go back 25 years, the 99 Knicks under Jeff Van Gundy in that strike-shortened season. They finished the eight seed, went all the way to the NBA Finals, and lost to San Antonio. But do you know that six members of that Knicks team were in attendance two nights ago at the Garden? Everybody from Allen Houston to Larry Johnson to Latrell Sprewell, Patrick Ewing, and as I mentioned, even Jalen Brunson, the best player on the team now, his father, who's now an assistant coach for the Knicks, Rick Brunson, he was on that roster. And it just seemed impossible the Knicks were going to lose. And this kid, Tyrese Maxey, who's not a good player, he's a great player out of Kentucky, for the 76ers, went Reggie Miller on the Knicks. Same thing. I think Miller scored 8 points in 9 seconds, and Maxey scored 7 points in 6 seconds. Either way, even when overtime started, Brunson hit a three and a basket, and the Knicks went up by five. Well, they still could not figure it out, and they lost. And now we've got a game six in Philadelphia tonight, and they can set every university in this country on fire. I don't care. I'm watching the Knicks. And I got to tell you, when the Rangers and Hurricanes start their next round of playoffs, round two.
Oh, you got to be on it.
They can set every university on fire. I don't care.
That's it, man. Oh.
That's it.
Okay, you know what time the game is tonight, too, don't you?
It's 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I know.
What genius came up with that?
For the West Coast, again, because you got a game at 6:30, which is even worse.
The Indiana game. Who cares?
Well, that's a big game. It's game six.
Switch it. That should be the later
game. They want the West Coast.
Right.
So the Knickerbockers get the 6 p.m. West Coast audience.
So what?
That's how it works.
Yes, but
that's why football is so late at night.
But that game is at least an hour behind us, right?
So no.
No, Indiana-Milwaukee?
The Indiana game is going to be on at 3:30 in the afternoon in California. No one's going to watch that. But the Knick game, you get the 6 p.m. West Coast, the 9 p.m. East Coast. That's your best way of getting bi-coastal ratings.
That's why I'm saying put that game later, because it'll be later for the West Coast.
You mean after the Knick game?
Yes.
Oh, maybe.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but then you're not starting until midnight. Then you get no East Coast.
For them?
Yeah, because the Knick game starts at 9. It's not over until 11:30.
Well, if the Knick game started at 7. And then
you can't do that, because that's 4 o'clock on the West Coast. They don't want that.
Oh, my God.
They want prime time for each coast.
Yes, but it is New York and Philly. We are the markets.
It doesn't matter.
Okay,
TV doesn't go by New York and Philly. They go by East Coast. I'm teaching you something. East Coast, West Coast.
I'm glad you're
So they don't want the game on at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon in Los Angeles.
All right, so, but you're screwing the markets where the teams have
You're
actually
not screwing any. Listen, Lou, most people, I hate to tell you, not like you and I, they don't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go to work. They're going to stay up and watch the game.
And it'll end at near midnight.
Yeah, so you and I won't be able to watch it, but they'll be fine. And they'll be able to get the whole West Coast, because it'll be over at 9 p.m. there. But that's why they play Monday Night Football at 9 o'clock at night, because they're worried about Los Angeles. And I always say, because I do suffer from East Coast bias, who cares about them? If California fell in the ocean today, so what? But the truth is, that's how TV does it. They keep the East Coast and the West Coast in mind for the games they think the most of the country wants to see. And they deem the Knicks as a bigger draw in California than the Milwaukee Bucks or the Indiana Pacers.
Than in New York and Philly.
You're still getting primetime New York. It's still prime time.
Right, but it's late.
And then it's too late for you, because you go to work.
It's late for everybody.
They'll get decent ratings here in New York.
Okay, so why do they start the Garden games at 7:30? Why do they do that?
Because there's no game before or after. They have to play these two games.
Okay, there's games every night from what I see.
No, I understand that. But not game sixes and game sevens that are now moving. Some of these games are moving now to TNT and TBS.
I got it.
So it's confusing. I don't care. I know that I will stay up as long as I can. But I don't care what they do around the country. I am going to watch the Knicks and the Rangers, because it's a respite from the madness.
Lunacy.
Right now, Jim Dolan he's got to be loving life. I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many shows I did at WFAN. Well, they wanted to kill Jim Dolan. Forget about these faculty members on these campuses. Forget about all these scumbags. They wanted to kill James Dolan. They wanted him dead. The lights were always off. No playoffs for the Knicks. Too much money on Stephon Marbury. The Rangers weren't very good. Right now, Jimmy Dolan, he's looking good, man. Right? Right or wrong?
I remember being in the elevator with him sometimes when we were in the old building because he was on the floor above us or a couple floors above us. And I thought, here's my chance to kill him when the Knicks were playing so bad. Because there he was, short little guy. I could take this guy out.
You could take him out, yeah.
He's a strange guy, too. He's
strange guy.
Very strange. Okay, so you got the Knicks over here, right? You got the Knicks over here, right? All right, so if you had ratings on the for nighttime Thursdays, right? Okay, right? So, I would sell, but I'm not going to sell, right?
There were always two guys, too, at the Fan that got along well with Jim. Mike Francesa and Craig Carton. Both are friends of Jim Dolan. Everybody else killed him. Every host on that station killed him. But right now, he's looking good.
Yeah,
he's looking good. I mean, you have to understand that the Garden is less than 2 miles away from Columbia. And two nights ago, they had no idea, from Mike Breen to 19,000 strong at the Garden. They had no idea what was happening. It was not like O.J., you know, a game against the Rockets, 94 NBA Finals, when everybody got out of their seats to watch the O.J. White Bronco car chase. They did that and actually stopped watching an NBA Finals game between the Knicks and the Rockets. Two nights ago, those folks, they couldn't care less if the cops beat every one of these pro-Palestinians to death. They wanted to see a Knick win. And I was one of those guys.
What's going on that TV?
We'll take a short break. They are still dismantling the encampment at UCLA. They have made a ton of arrests. It's gotten physical there, too, in California. So it's ugly, folks. It is ugly. A lot more great guests to come. Anthony D'Esposito is going to be here. Bill O'Reilly's going to be here. Jeff Flax, he's going to be here. Keep it right here. Thursday with Sid exclusively. On Talk Radio 77, WABC. Happy birthday, Lou Graham and Foreigner.
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends. 77 WABC.
Still a big standoff at UCLA with these anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian protesters and the cops. This has been going on for almost 90 minutes now. They've been there longer, but they started really moving in. They called it go time at about 3:30 a.m. California time about 90 minutes ago. Gnome's got all the latest. We got four great guests, four still to come, including actor Michael Rappaport, Bill O'Reilly, Jeff Lax, and Congressman Anthony D'Esposito. Very exciting 2 hours about to come your way on this Thursday edition of Sid and Friends in the Morning as the country remains on fire.
I've been lost now, days uncounted, and it's months since I've seen home. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Or am I all alone?
Entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
We'll be in your show plenty because you have a great show and you have big ratings, Sid. I don't even know if you know how good your show is, okay? But
you have big ratings and you have a great show and you've been my friend for a long time and I appreciate it.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
That is my friend, President Donald Trump. Yes, I do have big ratings. Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, I do. Hopefully he'll be on in the next week or two. He's back in court today, day 10 of that sham, that disgraceful trial. Country's falling apart. Every major city is turning to duty with Democrat mayors and Democrat governors and this douchebag president, my guy Trump, who for the better part of 3.5 years did a tremendous job of sitting in a courtroom for no reason because the DA and the AG ran on putting him in prison, which is ridiculous. You know, he's now day 10 of this trial, and they still have not said yet what crime he committed. You know why that's the case? Because there is no crime. So they put David Pecker on the stand, who was a pecker, by the way. And now they got some guy, Keith Davidson. I mean, who are these people? And their star witness is a felonious attorney who went to prison for lying. That's their star witness, Michael Cohen. And a joke. One of the things I've done this year that I'm most proud of, maybe right there with getting kicked out of the State of the Union, which is still, I love doing. That is a huge badge of courage for me when I called out Biden in that gallery for lying about how many Palestinian deaths there were, was going to Columbia University 2 weeks ago on a Monday with Anthony D'Esposito and Michael Lawler and Bruce Blakeman and my friend, the actor Michael Rapaport. And Rap did a great job that day, spoke, had a great speech. In fact, Rapaport got us all on the 6 o'clock news, which we appreciate. And he was supposed to do a bunch of comedy shows this weekend in Wisconsin, where Trump rallied yesterday. But they're canceled. Madison, Wisconsin is a mess. That's another university like UCLA, like Columbia, that right now is under siege. So they canceled Rappaport's shows. So he's still here in New York. In fact, he's joining us right now. Big-time actor Michael Rappaport back on Sid and Friends in the Morning. Good morning, Michael.
Kate, how are you, my man?
I'm good. I want to ask you one thing about Trump. We'll move on. Only because it's gotten a lot of play. Then we'll talk about the protests and a lot of play here that you have said more than once the last couple of months that there's no way you'll ever vote for Joe Biden. That is completely off the table. While you haven't said you are voting for Trump, you did say that was on the table. Is that still the case?
100%. Everything is on the table. And, you know, I mean, I think I could just say for myself that not only is the country changing, and I think a lot of people's opinions are changing, and I think a lot of people's thoughts and, you know, what they want from leadership, whether it's mayors, governors, presidents, you know, Congress, you know, your local people, I think people are getting clearer on that because of the, you know, long story short, the race politics, the bull crap, and the I think just all of us as Americans are getting more savvy and more clear on what's important and, you know, what we need and what we want. I could just say for myself, I definitely am, but I think a lot of other people are as well.
Well, I think you're right. I think people are waking up to it. You're right. I mean, look, take me, for example, Mike, okay? Like you, you're a big sports guy. You're the NBA. In fact, I know you'll be watching the Knicks tonight with the 76ers, but I worked at WFAN. I worked at 4 sports stations. I made my bones in this business talking every day about Eli Manning and Carmelo Anthony and Mike Piazza. And somewhere around 2014, when it was Obama versus Mitt Romney, I started to see how badly the country was doing. And certainly in 2016, Trump Clinton, when I moved back to New York, I saw how important that election was. And now, believe me, I'll be watching every second of the Knick game tonight, Mike. I don't miss 1 second of Ranger hockey. But I can't sit there and talk about sports for 4 hours a day about some stupid at-bat between the Mets and the Cubs when Israel's on fire and our Jewish students can't go to class.
You know, Sid, I feel the same way in regards to, let's say, the mundane. because of everything that's going on with Israel, everything that's going on with Jewish students, Zionist students, which simply means people that believe that Israel has the right to exist. You know, the word Zionist, it sounds like some sort of exotic cactus plant or some exotic, you know, way of thinking. I really wish the word was a little bit more basic, because that word, you know, I think confuses and stuff like that. But it's been extremely hard for me and for my wife to talk about, focus on the mundane in the last 7 months. You know, not only do I love my sports, I love my reality TV, and none of it is, it's all been to the back burner because of, I wake up every morning concerned. I wake up every morning, you know, this morning I called you because I turned on the news, ESPN, to catch the games that I missed last night. And then I flipped over to Fox News, and literally right now in Los Angeles at 5:20 a.m., they've been duking it out all night at the UCLA campus. And I was like, this is insane that this is going on all night long again, especially after the other day there was they were throwing down. So all those things for me, where I'm at in my life, supersede the mundane. And as much as I love my sports, and I'm going to watch the Knicks game tonight, it's in the back of my head, you know, what's going on? Will there be a deal? Will something give in Israel? Is Israel under attack? Are they beating up kids? Are they threatening kids? It's a crazy time. It's
crazy,
a crazy,
crazy
time.
You're right.
And in this world.
Yes.
And in this world.
Yeah, I mean, just when you thought that the Gorgorou-Ellis war was a big deal, there's a real war going on in the Middle East. I'm with the Real Housewives, all that stuff. You know, I was also a fan for years, and I can't watch any of it right now because they're fighting about nonsense when there are real issues going on in the world right now. So let's get to the protest. You and I were at Columbia about 2 weeks ago. Your speech was great. It was a big deal, Mike. You know that. And now it's over. I personally believe that the mayor waited way too long. I keep saying the same thing. If that was the Ku Klux Klan on the lawn for 12 days and not these, you know, pro-Hamas people, he wouldn't have waited for the president to call. Adams would have been in there in one day, not 12 days. So I'm not giving Mayor Adams credit this morning for what he said.
Me
I will
neither.
I'll give the NYPD credit because he did a great job. But for Mayor Adams to be taking a victory lap today, Michael, give me a break.
No, there's no victory lap. It should have been dealt with ASAP. The long term effects of the anti-Jewishness are very concerning to me, because, you know, going forward, Sid, especially for young people, you know, we're grown men and we're comfortable with ourselves. But going forward for younger people, you know, in 6 months, 8 months, a year from now, and on, when people know you're Jewish, people see your Jewish star, you'll be questioned, whether it's an actual question or a thought, like, oh, what kind of Jew are you? Do you support genocide? Are you a genocide supporter? You were an apartheid supporter. Where were you? What were you thinking, you know, during this time? It's like there's this stain and this question and this explanation that's put on us. And it's really, really, really bad. That is really, 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 really bad. And that's what all this chaos and, you know, from the river to the sea and globalized the intifada. And, you know, another thing that was really making me sick is that specifically at Columbia University, they had these banners saying honor the martyrs. You know, for me, I started to learn after 9/11 that in the radical Muslim thinking that, you know, the those people were looked at as martyrs. Can you imagine in New York City post 9/11, if there were signs celebrating, chanting, honor the martyrs who knocked down the towers?
Mm.
Those people would literally, by all races, by men, women, black, white, Chinese, Asian, those people would get the crap beaten out of them. I know allegedly there were some people in Jersey City that celebrated that day. And as the myth and the story goes, they were dealt with the next day, and we never heard from them again. But can you imagine if there were signs around New York City post 9/11, honor the martyrs? It wouldn't be accepted.
That's
a
good point.
They're saying about the
yep.
animals
yep.
that caused October 7th in Israel.
That's a good point. I saw those signs, too. And you're the first person, Michael, congratulations to your credit, to bring that up, honoring the martyrs, as if, again, you're right, these people did something worthy of being celebrated. So, look, you're a proud New York guy. Of course, you lived in Los Angeles as well, split your time between the two coasts because you're a big-time actor. And I don't say this because you and I are good friends. We are good friends, but you're a really good actor. So you split the time between the two coasts. But I know you're a New Yorker. You're a Nick guy. You're a New York guy. And being back now almost full-time here in New York and giving up some of those Los Angeles days, would you say at this point you're almost embarrassed to be a New Yorker?
I'm embarrassed. Wow. I'm embarrassed to be totally honest. It's embarrassing as a Jewish person, and I'm being totally honest, and I hate saying that, but the fact that this is happening in our city, the fact that there is such scrutiny, such anti-Semitism, anti-Jewishness going on in our city, I'm embarrassed that somehow, some way, our people, it's not our fault, but I'm embarrassed that it's happening. I'm embarrassed for the younger people that it's happening. And yeah, I mean, you know, I identify as a Jewish New Yorker, so it's one and the same. But the fact that these things are happening and that we have to, you know, I'm walking around yesterday in the city and all the Jewish people that I'm, you know, running into, everybody's like, be safe, be safe. And I'm like, what are we talking about here? Be safe?
Right.
You know, like, it's to me, the word is embarrassing. It makes me embarrassed that we've gotten to that point and we've done nothing wrong. And, you know, another thing that I wanted to tell you, Sid, is, you know, you and I had talked about getting together this weekend. I had a sold out show in Madison, Wisconsin. And the show was sold out 3 weeks ago. It sold out right away, a comedy show. I've been doing my stand-up comedy, and, you know, I'm on tour. And
by the way, you're great. I saw you at Caroline's. Me and Danielle saw you, and we thought you were great. We loved you.
Thank you. So whether I'm great or not great, I am great. But whether I'm great or not great, the show was sold out. And, you know, I had been getting some phone calls from my representatives that they were getting threats, da-da-da-da-da. I said, well, I'm going to do the show. I am not canceling a show. I don't care what, you know, if they're thinking they're threatening me, like, I'm going to Madison, Wisconsin. And yesterday the club decided to cancel the show.
Wow.
It was out of my hands. They canceled the show, because they had been getting online threats. They had been getting emails. And then yesterday, apparently some people were just lingering around the club, you know, talking crap to some of the employees, and the show got canceled. Wow. And, It really was, again, it was embarrassing that it happened. It's such a bad precedent to set, to balk to these people. It's such a bad precedent, to set that any county, city would let that happen. It's the second time it happened, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I didn't think it was going to, you know, I thought it was going to go away. I didn't want to be associated with this because this kind of craziness, because I love what I do. I just don't, it's such against my beliefs to let something like this happen. But it was out of my hands, and they decided to cancel the show.
Terrible.
Because of
terrible
threats. And it knocked the sales out of me yesterday. But, you know, you go to sleep, and here we are to keep, you know, moving forward and keep the energy and the fight alive.
So in the final 60 seconds, Mike, another great conversation. Keep coming back, man. New Yorkers need to hear from you. In the final 60 seconds, being that you are such a proud Jew, you've been to Israel a ton since October the 7th. You've sat with the hostage families. You've done great work. You really have. And, of course, speaking of Columbia here in New York, you're not afraid. You're like me. You're even more not afraid than I am. If somebody came to you with a script, a Hollywood script, and you found out that an actor or two that they were going to use in that movie didn't speak up for the Jews, or maybe even the complete opposite, signed one of those petitions against Israel, Could you work with somebody like that ever again?
You know, to be totally honest, I could. You know, I worked with people that I know I didn't have political, social views with.
This is different.
I think that I have in the past, in the recent past. And, you know, me doing that is the same thing as shows being canceled. You know, I've worked with people that, yeah, that we've had totally different views on. And you have to be a professional. And I don't believe in intermingling those things. It might not be the most comfortable. But, you know, if you're working in close quarters, you could talk and you know, sort of, you know, I don't know, not change, but express yourself. So, yeah, I would, you know, if it's something radical or totally off the wall, I don't think so. But
right.
But the what you're talking about, I could. Could you not? Like, what do you
No, think? I know. I'm much less mature than you are. Of course I can't. I'm a baby.
You. Yeah. No.
No way. I don't even. I got to be honest. You and I have been close for a long time. Nothing's going to change that. I mean, I hope you vote for Trump. But if you don't, But I've actually there are people in my life that are Democrats that I don't talk to anymore. I'm a child. I'm very immature.
No, I see. I got to be honest. I don't. I'm not at the point. I'm hesitating because I don't, you know, it could change, but I'm not at the point where I haven't stopped speaking to anybody, you know, like I said, you know, politics and all that stuff. There's people that are in my life, close friends of mine that, you know, for a long time I had very, very different views with. But you talk about it, you maybe could argue about it, could be a little weird, and then you just like, ah, screw it.
And you move on. Right. Then you go to the Knick game together tonight, and you both wear your Brunson jerseys. Well, it's in Philly, of course, but it's all good.
I mean, as far as the Knicks are concerned, if that doesn't bring New Yorkers together, I don't know what is. You know, another thing, Sid, these people specifically at Columbia, I would guarantee you the majority of those animals, those dingbats at Columbia, those students are not New Yorkers, because if that is not the New York spirit and the New York way, I guarantee you those are people from other states, because New York, despite, the leadership and despite the things that are going on, the spirit, and I believe this wholeheartedly, the spirit of New Yorkers is special and unique. And I believe in us, and I believe in the spirit and the people of New York City wholeheartedly.
That's where we're ending this. That's a perfect ending. Michael Rappaport, I believe in the people in this city, in the spirit of this city wholeheartedly. Mike, that was a tremendous job. Great job. I will talk to you over the weekend. I'm serious, man. That was effing great, bro. Thank you so much. And we'll talk over the weekend and do it again next week. Okay, pal?
I'll talk to you soon, Sid. Hey, real quick, did you have your McDonald's this morning?
No. You're funny.
I love you.
I love you, too. That's Mike Rappaport, folks. Terrific actor and just doing an amazing job with Israel and the Jewish people. We appreciate it. We'll take a short break. Still lots more to do. Jeff Lacks, at one point, he was a professor at Kingsborough Community College, and he recommended that I deliver the commencement speech. It never happened. He says to this day, it's because I'm Jewish and CUNY doesn't want it. We'll talk to Jeff Lacks, Rep. Anthony D'Esposito, and the man himself, the biggest rated segment of the week, the great Bill O'Reilly. All that coming up.
Love me, cause I'm free.
Friends in the morning, 77 WABC.
One of our fans here, Amy, describes herself as a pushy fan from Poughkeepsie. But it's her dad, Don's, birthday today. Sid, we are solid fans of you. We listen every morning. We compare notes at lunch. So happy birthday to Daddy Don on behalf of his daughter, Amy. And happy birthday to Lou Graham from Foreigner.
What are the notes that you're doing?
I guess the two of them sit around and say, hey, did you hear when Sid said this? Or Bill O'Reilly said that? Or Michael Rappaport? Or Donald Trump? I don't know.
But that implies that just so it's top of mind, they have some sort of notepad that they're actually physically writing down notes.
Does that seem so far-fetched to you, Dick Face?
I certainly don't do it, and I'm the producer of this program.
Yeah, good point. I take the dick face comment back. Kind of silly. People say that stuff to me all the time. They're like, you know, me and my father listen to you, and then he'll call me and go, hey, did you hear what Sid said today? And I don't ask, you know, what happens after that. But
this is Danielle saying this. Yeah. Is that okay? No, you should just go right to the beach. Just go walk. Nah, it was all good.
Yeah. I'm looking at all these faces of these kids who are arresting. These were kids, man. I'm sorry. Estes in Kansas. Any of you folks out there that really believe that upwards of 70% of these people are paid agitators, you're nuts. You're nuts. These are kids. This guy's not. This guy looks like Grady from Sanford and Son. But they're all kids. Seriously. This is not the first time kids did this.
No.
We saw the same thing. Now, we've talked to a lot of very smart people this week, very smart, from Steve Bannon to Alan Dershowitz. They all agree, outside of Curtis, who I think is brilliant, that this is much worse today than 1968. They all said the same thing. 68 was about a bunch of pussies who didn't want to get drafted. That was it. It was about the Vietnam War. That was it. This is much scarier today, but this is not the first time we've seen kids on college campuses. Again, do I think there are paid agitators? Of course. George Soros, Muslim Brotherhood. There's a bunch of these organizations. That's how they afford all these tents and plywood and stuff. I get it, but they're not the majority. The majority are these kids that are being radicalized and brainwashed every day. And I don't care who you are, you're not going to convince me differently. These are our sons and daughters. Our sons and daughters that are doing this. And honestly, I want them to be in jail for as long as the January 6th people.
Sure.
Because when you break into those buildings at Columbia, to me, that's an insurrection. By the way, it's not, because there were no weapons. Neither was January 6th. There were no weapons. Howard Stern, that moron, asked one more time about the cops that died on January 6th. Hey, idiot, no cop died January 6th. Sicknick died the next day of natural causes. No cops were killed that day. One person was killed that day, Ashley Babbitt, a lovely Donald Trump supporter, murdered by a black cop. Murdered by a black cop. Yes, I said black cop, because if it was the other way around, what do you think would happen? Just like I keep saying, if it was a Ku Klux Klan sitting on the lawn at Columbia, do you think the mayor would wait for a call from the university president? I don't think so. But the Jews, F the Jews, F them. We'll go in when they call us. Get out of here. All right, let's go to Joe Nolan. I got to talk to Bill O'Reilly.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
You know, the reason I'm so excited to talk to you was because I wanted to understand the tragedy in your life and how you dealt with it. And you're the kind of leader I love, because we're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the country. Because if you're a good father to your family, which
Hunter
you
Biden.
Are, I know you'd be a good father to the country. And I want to thank you for providing a calming influence, an organized administration post-COVID, getting that vaccine out. I remember what the world was like at that point, getting NATO, getting us to feel comfortable, standing up to Putin. The incredible large growth
Stop it.
Unemployment rate down. Give you your greatest hits. The lowest unsured rate in history. 4 out of 5 Americans are covered for less than $10 a month. Knocking off a few ISIS leaders. Cutting the emissions in half. I mean, you've always been an environmentalist.
That's embarrassing. So when Bill O'Reilly did his morning message this morning and talked about Stern, every time O'Reilly comes on this show and Stern's name comes up, that idiot Stern plays it the next day because he's got a hard-on for O'Reilly. But that's okay. I've been killing Howard Stern all week since that really embarrassing interview he did with the president last week. So Here he is. He was the best. He still is the best. He'll always be the best, whether it's 9 p.m. weeknights on WABC or his own amazing website, BillO'Reilly.com. Great interviews, great stories, great TV work. His Killing series, now 13 in, and his new book, which I can't wait to read, coming out September the 10th, where he talks about every president from George Washington to this imbecile Joe Biden. So Howard Stern, Bill O'Reilly, no matter what he says about you, in your rich, beautiful, amazing career, you've never had a day like his. That interview with Biden was a joke.
Yeah, I mean, but the expectation level of the American public shouldn't be high because it's an entertainment show. I mean, I know what Howard Stern is doing, and his people, not him, listen to you, by the way. I don't know. Maybe they're taken. I don't know. But they listen. So whatever we say here, you're right, is going to probably be dissected. But he's really gotten hammered across the board. Even Biden made fun of him at the correspondence dinner last Saturday. Biden said, oh, I'm doing a lot of interview with hard-hitting journalists. Pause. Like Howard Stern. Yuck,
wow.
yuck.
Wow.
Yeah. That was probably his most flamboyant line on Saturday. I mean, it wasn't really a joke-o-rama with him and Colin Jost. And if you want to get into Jost, I'd tell you why that happened. But with Stern, look, his obligation right now to Sirius, who's paying him an unbelievable amount of money, is to get attention. All right, his obligation is not to the folks to get them information. I wish he would take that mantle on, but that's not what he does. He has to justify his enormous salary with Sirius. Sirius is a subscription-based operation. So he has to get attention, which he did by bringing Biden on. And the Biden people knew they could make a deal. It was all about money. They can make a deal saying, look, you can't ask about inflation or the border or Putin or the Middle East or the protests. You can't ask about any of that. You have to ask Joe about being a lifeguard. Okay? And now it's okay, because it's smart business for Howard to do that.
Yeah, of course.
See?
Yeah.
So that's what happened there. And, you know, look, it's Biden's fault, not so much Stern's fault. Biden doesn't want to answer any questions because he's incapable of answering. Look, just the protest took him 13 days.
Yeah, yeah.
To even issue a statement about respecting the law.
And it's still not a very, very strong statement. I'm sorry,
he didn't even say it.
Yeah.
He didn't even say it. And then yesterday when Peter Doocy, thank God for him, at Fox News, said to Corinne Jean-Pierre, hey, is the Justice Department looking into who's financing these protesters? Because obviously they're financed.
Yes.
Because all their tents are the same.
Correct.
Did they run out to Home Depot and get them? And you know what she said?
What?
I can't speak to. You know, lady, why don't you just be honest and look into the camera and say, my job is to distort and obfuscate all questions, not answer them.
Nice.
That's
word.
My job.
She's so bad. Do you know that she's so bad at her job? And she does lie every day to protect Biden. But she's so bad at even doing that, that reports, which I saw on MSNBC, I have to admit, were that they wanted to fire her.
Yeah, somebody did in there, an Obama person, Anita Dunn, and I know this whole crew. And Dunn is smart and understands that Biden's going down right now. He is. He's going down. So that the smarter progressive Democrats know that. And one of the ways you can at least stop some of the bleeding is to have a guy like Kirby, who's much more credible, John Kirby, than Corinne Jean-Pierre, who is just, I mean, she just looks like, I'd rather have a high school kid in there. I really. Some smart high school kid
would
be a lot better giving information to the American people.
No, she's awful. I remember they used to make fun of my friend Sean Spicer, but she...
She is the worst.
The worst. Okay? Ever. I agree.
I have never seen anybody... Oh, I can't speak. Hey, what's your job? Right. What do you mean you can't speak to it? It's your job.
And look, I agree. I've said it all morning long. There's no question. George Soros, the Muslim Brotherhood. There's a bunch of organizations.
Yeah, read my column, Sid.
Right. But
BillO'Reilly.com. I lay it all on out there.
I know, but I don't want people to think that the overwhelming majority of the people participating in this are those people. That's not true. The money behind it is 100% true. That's all their money. But the fact is, 80% or 70%, these are kids. These are students. These are kids. These are somebody's kids out there. This could be your son. It could be my son or daughter out there doing this. And to me, that is unacceptable.
Well, it's terrible. But keep it in perspective. Most college students could not care less about this issue, don't understand the issue, want to take their exams and come home for the summer. This is a sliver of radical students that have always been on campus, always, from the Vietnam War on. And these organizations that fund it have databases of the left-wing activists on campus. They know their emails. They know who they are. They know the clubs. They know all of it.
Yep.
And they can mobilize them quickly.
And gin them up. Make them even more enthusiastic.
They don't even have to, Sid. These are lost souls.
Yeah, they are. Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
And they all get together, and it's fun for them.
True.
Because, and that's a key. This is fun for these protesters. They get to be with people of like mind. They get a date. They're all in a we're noble, look at us, and they get attention, and it's exciting. That's what this is.
Yes. No, I agree with you. In fact, keep it.
This isn't, you know, they say anti-Semitism. There is anti-Semitism, but it is not the dominant cause of this. Anti-Americanism is.
Then keep it there. No, stop right there. That's a very important point you just made. And I agree with you 1,000%. This goes above and beyond the Jewish people, which I am. It's about America. I'm going to ask you a question. I asked a lot of folks this week, but I want your answer because there's no better historian, Bill O'Reilly, than you. What's the question? Keep it right here. You'll find out. O'Reilly and Sid will be right back.
We will make the world shine. We will fall to love one another. This is something we all need. We will fall to love one another. We must be what we're going to be. And what we have to be is free.
Entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
The radical extremists and far-left agitators are terrorizing college campuses, as you possibly noticed, and Biden's nowhere to be found. He hasn't said anything.
That's my guy, Donald Trump. It's a real president, folks. Got him locked in that freezing courtroom every day. He returns for day 10 today. He's freezing. But what does he do on his day off? Yesterday, his day off. He flies to Wisconsin, then he goes from Wisconsin to Michigan, then he goes from Michigan home. He was on the George Washington Bridge at 9:30 last night, and he's back in court today. Well, Biden does nothing. He, like O'Reilly said, took him 12 days. He made some really lame statement yesterday. But where I left it off, Bill, was the question I've been asking everybody, and you are a student of history like nobody else, was the 1968 comparison. And almost every single person outside of one answered it the same, which was, that was really about a bunch of pussies who didn't want to get drafted and fight in the Vietnam War. And that this is a much more serious and difficult time today. What does Bill O'Reilly think?
No, I think the Vietnam War was more serious than this. And I'll tell you why. This story is going to disappear in about 3 or 4 weeks when the semesters end at the colleges. Okay.
So well, hold on. It may end at the colleges, but you do realize that yesterday there were plenty of protesters on bridges, on tunnels, in Foley Square,
sure,
outside of the police headquarters. It ain't going away. In fact, I'm going to say to you, this will be around a heck of a lot longer than the Vietnam protests.
Well, we disagree. So these protests in the municipalities are easily controlled by the prosecutors.
Assuming
the problem
they want
in
to.
New York City
the
police make arrests and Bragg is going to drop all the charges.
Correct.
He's not going to prosecute anything.
Same thing in L.A. In UCLA this
same
morning.
Same thing in L.A. Absolutely right. So you're going to have a cycle, but you can stop the cycle. And Adams was pretty angry yesterday, so maybe he'll order the police to detain, and you can do a whole bunch of things to make these protesters' lives really miserable, and they're not the type of people that are going to be able to roll with that. But the big difference is this. In the Vietnam War, and I'm basing this on my own personal experience. So I was raised in Levittown, Long Island, and half the kids went to college and half of them didn't. And the ones that didn't got drafted, and a lot of them went to Vietnam. And then they came back and they were all screwed up. One of them committed suicide. A lot of them were doing heroin. It was horrible. And I talked to them myself. I said, what was it like over there? Everybody did. And the stories they told were harrowing. And it changed my perspective on it. And so that was happening all across the country. Is that people you knew who were good guys were going and they got drafted and came back and they were zombies. You could see it. And then Lyndon Johnson, when you read Confronting the Presidents and see how bad and heinous this guy was, LBJ, horrible, horrible in the Vietnam War situation. You'll be just unbelievably angry. And those protests were based on a policy that was hurting every single American. It wasn't there were some people afraid to fight. Okay, they went to Canada, all of that. But now this protest here is what I call contrived. So these far left people, and they all are far left. And remember, the Vietnam protests were across the board. Most of them were liberal, but there were people, moderate, conservative. I mean, my father didn't have, and he was a traditional guy. He didn't have any use for that war. And my father was a vet, a World War II vet. This is more contrived. The problem here is that the media doesn't challenge, and it didn't in 1968 either. Media was sympathetic to the protests. But now the media basically steps aside. They're getting nervous. They're all getting nervous because 80% of Americans, according to the Harris poll that came out this week, support Israel over Hamas. When you have that plurality, that it tells you everything you need to know. So there is no real comparison here. And when we talk in late June, this will be pretty much over, I predict.
Well, I think you're right with universities, but when BB goes into Rafah, they're going to go berserk in this country again.
Well, that is going to absolutely ignite.
That's what I'm saying. It's not going away.
But he doesn't. There's ways to do that. And this ceasefire that Israel, through the United States, has offered Hamas, release the hostages and we won't go into Rafah.
And they said no. You know why they said no,
not
Bill?
Not yet.
They don't have any hostages, Bill. They have like 10. They're all dead.
Well, if that's the case, then there's going to be a reckoning. And I'm basing my analysis on what we know now. So if Netanyahu's government goes in and there's another 20,000 dead Palestinians, then things are going to get worse. Okay. But I'm hoping and praying that does not happen. I like the surgical approach that I wrote about in Killing the Killers, where you can decapitate Hamas leadership, and I mean that literally, without the mass of troops going in, because Hamas is using those people as human shields. I mean, they're putting the civilians and the babies and the children in front of them so that they will be killed by the Israelis, and Hamas is hiding behind them. How heinous is that? I mean, my God. Now, if you were to say that to a Columbia protester, they go, oh, no, that's not happening.
Correct.
Oh, no. You know, because they believe what they want to believe. They don't care about
that. They've actually denied in interviews October 7th. They've described it, pictures and videos of girls getting raped.
Right. It's like the Holocaust deniers. It's the same thing. So these loons, and they are, they're lunatics, all right? And there's not an overwhelming amount of them. In the UCLA compound, there are hundreds, not thousands.
True.
25,000 kids in that school. Okay, this is a very, and the media blows this out of proportion. On CNN last night, Dana, whatever her name
Bash.
Is. Was going, oh, this is 1938 in Germany. Are you kidding me? I mean, if you're re-killing the SS, I mean, Germany, that was insane hatred by half of the German
population. No, you're right. In terms of population, you're right. But where she's right is the never again statement is happening now. Maybe not in the numbers of Germany, Bill, but the fact that
it'll
there are people in this
happening, Sid.
Well, that's not good. That's not okay.
No, I know it's not good.
It's not okay. Then it needs
it's
to be
like
mentioned.
MSNBC being on the air every day is not good.
But wait a second, Bill.
We can do about it.
Well, there is, because I can tell you this. When my guy Trump was president, say what you want about the guy, okay? People weren't dying in Israel. People weren't dying in Gaza.
Of course not.
There were nobody walking the streets of New York City wearing a cup of ear.
When I was in Malta a few weeks ago and had breakfast with the defense minister at his request, I asked him, what did Maltese think about Trump? And they go, they liked that there was not chaos in the world under his administration. Now, this is a Maltese defense minister, part of the EU. All right. And then he said they don't like global warming.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's beyond any doubt that Trump controlled, all right, chaos. He controlled it by economics, by telling people, I'll strangle your country, President Xi, China, if you misbehave. All right? That's how he did it. And now we have a president who doesn't know who President Xi is. You know?
Yeah,
it's a drastic change in the American power structure. And again, these Biden supporters, I don't know. We have good health insurance. Oh, my God.
Yeah, break.
Right. So that's what you're dealing with here.
It is. It's scary. It's getting scarier. And as you always say, Bill, and you're right, the next couple of months leading up to November, fasten your seatbelt, folks, because a lot of the issues we're seeing now will probably get worse in anticipation of just the potential that Trump could be back in power.
Well, these protests are hurting Biden. They're hurting him big time. It's all far left people. He has no clue. He is MIA once again. So Howard Stern and all the Hollywood elite, they can say whatever they want. But the regular folks, on top of inflation, open border, now they're seeing social disorder, public disorder, and a president who can't even issue a statement condemning it. It's really hurting him. So that's the good news. And I say that because we have to get out of him.
Yes.
All right? And if you look at the 4 years of Trump, you may hate his guts. We did not have this level of chaos economically or overseas. We did not have it at the border. We did not have this rampant violent crime everywhere. Now we do.
I want somebody to cut up those last 2 minutes. The whole thing was brilliant, all of it great, but those last 2 minutes, and send it to Joe and Mika and these idiots. I'm serious. And let him play it. Let him play O'Reilly saying what he said the last 2 minutes. Forget
but
about
they
the
won't
whole.
Because it's all about money. Keep that in mind.
I know.
It's
I know.
All about money.
I know.
That's Howard Stern. It's money.
Yep.
Mika and Joe, money.
Yep.
They're making money saying this stuff. going in the tank. That's what it's about. And people just, they don't know that. Money is so powerful. And that's what's driving all of this media insanity.
Bill O'Reilly, you're brilliant, and I can't thank you enough for another amazing, amazing appearance. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll do it again very soon. Great job.
All right, Sid. Thanks for having me.
Come on. You're the best. That was amazing. Bill O'Reilly, that was as good as it gets, folks. You want a great radio interview? Go back and listen to all of it. Started about 8:48 this morning, right through 9:12. Check him out 9 p.m. every weeknight on WABC. And trust me, BillO'Reilly.com, that is your best source for news. We'll take a short break. We'll get some news with Noam, Anthony D'Esposito, maybe Jet Black's final hour about to come your way.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
We get up and we both know it. We don't talk too much about it.
Like the Migrants, Refugee by Tom Petty. You know, there's more and more cases, very anecdotal, but it's my life, of people I speak to that wouldn't consider ever voting for Trump. They were lifelong Democrats, and now they want Trump. Michael Rappaport, without saying he's voting for Trump, said this morning, I'm voting for Trump. Didn't say it, but he said it. And if you've listened to Michael over the years, he has said more disgusting and vile things about my friend than anybody. I mean, stuff that's really over the top. It's horrible, to be honest, horrible. About Trump and his kids. But, right now, all I'm concerned is getting my guy votes. So I'll forgive Michael for that if he votes for Trump. But if you heard him this morning, I don't know, folks, he voting for Trump. Had dinner with a guy last night, my daughter Ava's friend Maya and her parents, two lovely people, Conrad and Uma Carl. They've got a great restaurant, Uma's, on 92nd Street by the beach in Rockaway. A lifelong Democrat. No longer. He said he lost it with Biden, and he will vote for Trump. So there's a lot of folks out there that are starting to hear the message, which Bill O'Reilly just pointed out, which I do every morning, every morning. I didn't always love Trump. But come on, man. This shouldn't even be a debate.
Well, look at Dov Hyken.
Dov, very good. Thank you. Dov Hyken.
Huge.
67 years as a Democrat.
Yes, and he was, you know, a leading figure in New York City.
Huge, of course.
And
he's a Republican. He's going to vote with Trump. How about Tulsi Gabbard? She was a Democrat her whole life. She adores Trump. Nancy Mace couldn't stand Trump. Adores Trump. People are paying attention. If you're paying attention, and you're going to vote for Biden, you're an effing moron. There's no other way to put it. You're, I mean, you hate this country. There's no question you hate this country. I don't care if you served 20 years in the Marines. If you're voting for Biden, you hate this country and you're stupid.
Oof. That's a tough wall right there if it's a Marine.
Yeah, I don't care if you're a Marine.
I don't care. I'm hearing you.
Okay. No one loves the veterans and the police more than me, but I draw the line at stupidity and ignorance. Ignorance is no defense. Danielle can tell you that. Well, I didn't know.
Well,
now you know. If you didn't know, now you know.
The speed limit was covered. I didn't know the speed. I know, officer. Hey, you look good in blue.
Let me take a quick break because I've got Congressman Anthony D'Esposito on the phone. And I got to talk to Anthony. A lot of stuff going on in Congress. A lot of stuff. Good news is pro-Israel, fighting anti-Semitism. Anthony D'Esposito, along with Waller, who was on earlier, at the very forefront of all of it. We'll talk to Tony D coming up next.
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
You know, you got these Jews in government, these phony Jews like Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders and Jerry Nadler. The worst kind of Jews, you know. And then you got the Guyim that are better Jews than Jews. Mike Lawler, for example, is a great Jew. But I don't think he's Jewish. But the MVP for me, the guy that stands up for Israel at every turn, goes to Israel, goes to Holocaust museums, has been honored, has honored others, is a proud Long Island congressman, Anthony D'Esposito. He's become one of my best buddies. He was the guy that took me to the State of the Union. And he was the guy that joined me literally seconds after I announced it at 6 a.m. that morning and making that Columbia rally the big deal that it was. He cares. Anthony D'Esposito. Good morning, Anthony.
My man, how are you, brother?
I'm good. Hey, tell me what you did last night, the Holocaust Museum. Let's start right there.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough that when I got to Congress, I was appointed, one of few members appointed to the board of the United States National Holocaust Museum. So after everything that's gone on over the last couple of weeks, I joined with a couple of colleagues from around the country, and we did a private tour for members last night of the United States National Holocaust Museum. I figured with Yom HaShoah just a few days away, it was a fitting way to honor the victims of the Holocaust, remember them, and to remind members that we need to keep fighting so it never happens again.
It is unbelievable. I make this point every time you're on. I'm sorry if I get repetitive, but the love that you show for the Jewish people, your constant trips to Israel, trying your very best to get Israel money. I know you introduced at least one, maybe two, standalone packages for Israel at the Holocaust Museum last night. It is unreal. I've asked you this before, but I forget the answer. I don't know if you had a Jewish uncle or a Jewish grandmother. I don't know. But where does all this Judaism come from for you?
Well, listen, I grew up Roman Catholic, and there are a lot of similarities. I also, you know, represent one of the largest Jewish districts in the country. And for me, you know, even prior to being in Congress, when I was a councilman in the town of Hempstead and serving as an NYPD detective, my precinct bordered the headquarters for the Grand Chabad on Eastern Parkway. So it's something that, you know, it's sort of I've been involved in for the most part of my adult life, and it's a community that I've really wanted to learn about and to understand and to realize that, you know, those trips to Israel are not just about the Jewish people and the state of Israel, but it's also about learning, you know, about the scripture that I read when I was growing up, going to church every Sunday or going to Catholic school. So I think that it's an opportunity for us to really work together. And for me, I look at it as it's the right thing to do. I mean, that's really what this is all about right now. We're trying to do the right thing. And you have people like Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden who are, and listen, some Republicans who are doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, I was. You say some Republicans. I know that Lawler, congratulations to Mike, the anti-Semitism awareness bill that the House passed. I know you're part of that too, Anthony. And 91 nays, well over 300 yeses, but 91 yeas. The 70 Democrats don't surprise me, nays, I should say. But 21 Republicans? What was their issue?
I mean, you know, some of them have said that, you know, it had to do with the First Amendment. I mean, what they forget is that, you know, that bill that I co-sponsored and Mike Lawler really ran with it. He did a great job. You know, that actually the bill yesterday that we passed codifies President Trump's executive order that he had when he was president of the United States. So if it worked for them then, what's the issue with it now?
Right. Who are these people? You want to give me their names or no?
I mean, you know, Matt Gaetz voted against it. It's that usual crew, you know, a lot of them that either they just don't like New Yorkers or you know, they really have an issue with voting in favor of Israel. And I'm just, it's hard to understand. You know, first it was, you know, they were complaining about the spending packages. Now it's about, again, an anti-Semitism bill that again, codifies President Trump's executive order. I'm not sure what the issue was.
I think it comes down to this, and talking about President Trump, he's due back in court day 10. This sham, this circus, what they're doing to my friend is unacceptable, but President Trump will get the last laugh. He's going to win in November. They were talking this morning on one of these liberal stations, you know, will President Trump fire some of these DAs? And I hope he fires all of them. I hope he gets rid of all those bastards because they're all full of it. None of them are doing their job. They're all taking personal agendas, biases, and making it their daily job. That's not right. So I hope he does. I hope he fires everybody. But what it comes down to with these psychos... And I like Gaetz. I've met Gaetz. I like him. His wife does a good national anthem. And I've met, obviously, MTG. But it all comes down to the border. And look, I get it. I want border money as much as anybody. I believe the border money is the most important. I rank it border money 1, Israel 2, and Ukraine a distant 3rd. If Ukraine never got another penny, I couldn't care less. But, what do you want from Johnson? He's just trying to get something done so at least some of our allies get something while Chuck Schumer lets H.R. 2 rot on his desk. What did Mike Johnson do wrong?
And Sid, you said it best. That should be the message that Republicans are sending across this country. We should be united in one message, and that is growing our majority in the House of Representatives, taking the Senate and electing Donald Trump president of the United States. And by doing that and by talking about the fact that House Republicans are the only lawmakers on Capitol Hill that actually passed border security. I sit on the House Homeland Security Committee. I spent tens of hours going over that bill, the markup, drafting it, getting it onto the floor, passing it. It's been sitting on Chuck Schumer's desk for close to a year now, collecting dust, and they're doing nothing because they don't want to secure the border. And the fact is that now we hear over and over again this Lankford bill. It's a bipartisan Senate bill. I hear it every day, especially from, you know, those on social media who love to troll my pages. Well, why didn't you vote for the bipartisan Senate bill? Well, first of all, I didn't have the opportunity to vote for it because the Senate can't pass it. Right. They can't agree on their own bill, and that is not a solution. It's a surrender. Allowing 5,000 additional people into this country every day is not a solution. It's a surrender. And quite frankly, what we should be doing is putting pressure on the Democrats to get H.R. 2 on the floor.
Yep.
And listen, I'm not saying every part of it is perfect, but it's a starting point. It's a starting point to negotiate, to have conversations. You want to talk about making this country safer? Let's do it. We sent you HR 2 over a year ago. You've been doing nothing with it. All you've been doing is bad-mouthing Israel and going after Netanyahu.
That's it. This is Congressman Anthony D'Esposito. So talking about social media, I have a lot of folks on there that have been asking me about this Lisa Fithian. You know, that was the lady they showed on Columbia. She's the, you know, the head protester. She's in charge of the protest. She's the one ginning up all these kids. And they asked me, they said, is it possible that the Esposito and Lawler and all those great House Republicans that loathe what's going on these college campuses, and unlike Eric Adams, don't wait 2 weeks to do something about it, is it possible that they will grill this lady on the Hill? I said, I don't really know how that whole thing works. So Lisa Bithian, is there any chance that can happen?
Oh, I would love to have a conversation with her. I mean, she has spent her life just causing havoc and spewing hate. I mean, I think I texted you the other night. She's been arrested over 80 times, and she considers herself a protest consultant. I mean, obviously, she should do a better job.
Well, wait, Curtis has been arrested 81 times, and he does some pretty good work.
But we like Curtis. And Curtis is fighting for the right reasons. He's fighting for law enforcement. He's fighting to keep this city safe. This I don't know what this woman's doing. She's traveling around the country spewing hate and firing up young college kids to run around campuses with shirts on that say, I am Hamas.
So in the final 60 seconds, it looks like it's over at Columbia, but I just had a little tiff back and forth with O'Reilly. He thinks after June it'll be over altogether. I go, no. I go, the day that PB goes into Rapa, they're going to go nuts. It doesn't have to be on college campuses. We've seen the last 2 days, for example, these animals rally outside of police headquarters as they cheered on the folks that got let out of jail after being arrested at Columbia. We've seen it at Foley Square. We saw it on bridges and tunnels last night. We've been seeing it for 7 months. It's not going to be over just because they kicked them out of Columbia. You agree with that?
I agree with it. Listen, I respect Bill O'Reilly very much. We went to the same high school. There is no way that this is over. First of all, people are more fired up and angry than they've been before. They're getting all these kids running around college campuses. Love to see their faces on Twitter and Facebook and on the national news. You have the Republican and the Democrat National Convention, which is going to give them, front and center opportunity to
Great
continue
point.
To act like animals.
Great point.
So I don't think this is going anywhere.
I don't either. I think sporting events, I mean, again, I was only one in 1968, so I can't talk like O'Reilly can about Vietnam, but that was a single issue deal. That was the war. And once the war was over, that was it. These kids can keep this going for years. Every time Israel does something to defend themselves, every time the United States, I mean, if Trump wins the presidency in November and does something for Israel, they're going to go nuts.
Absolutely. And Sid, the thing is that back in Vietnam, obviously I wasn't there either, but everything that you read about it and you watch about it, they were protesting about an issue, the single issue that they knew about. These kids don't even know what they're talking about. And all they want to do is fight, spew hate, get TikTok likes, and continue to spread venom. I mean, and that's what these college campuses are. They are petri dishes of hate.
That's right. And then when you combine the fact you've got these animals like George Soros, multi-billionaires, or these other organizations that are willing to fund these kids because they want nothing more than chaos in America, you put together a very diabolical, toxic mess that is not going away, in my opinion and yours, anytime soon. Anthony, you're brilliant. I love you. I mean this. You're a great fighter for our country. So keep coming on. I'll see you again very soon. Thank you.
I love you, brother. And listen, they ain't going away, but neither are we.
Damn right. There he is. That's why you got to love him. Congressman Anthony D'Esposito, and my man packs a punch. We're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We got about 20 minutes to go before Brian Kilmeade comes your way.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Lewis is making fun of me. I have a habit when a song comes on that I like, and almost all the songs that Lou play, outside the ones I pick out, Lou picks out the overwhelming majority of the music. I like it. So I have a habit of standing up.
Now, it's more than just, you got like a spring in your ass.
I have a habit of a spring in my ass. So instead of facing the class and looking at Alec and Lou or Norman flipping to my left, I literally turn around. And I look outside these big, beautiful windows overlooking Third Avenue, and I hold my pencil, and every now and then I'll fist pump when you get to the part of the song which I like in Rod Stewart's Tonight Tonight when he says, spread your wings and let me come inside.
Wait for those mature lines.
That's a good one right there, Rod. Come on, baby.
Yeah, remember when you were 17, too, and you heard these songs?
I like that one, too. So I have a habit of doing these things, but this happened a long time ago. There's a very famous picture. When I say very famous, like eight people saw it on Instagram. Not exactly Michelangelo, you know.
Right.
But I was in my West Palm Beach studios, and this is a true story. I had just gotten a call from a guy named Craig Schwab.
Oh.
And Craig Schwab said to me, he said, you know, we kind of like what you and Bernard do. So if you want to come back in 2 weeks, this was December of 2015, you can come back and do some more shows with Bernie. And I said, you know, Craig, I'm just wondering, all these shows, we've now done four or five shows, and he seemed to like them, and I'm hearing all these rumors about Geraldo. Is this going to turn into something? I didn't know at the time that Craig, like Imus, didn't want me. Thank God Chad Lopez did. And he said, yes, this could turn into something. Now, I remember walking back into my studios, the true story, in West Palm Beach. I'd worked for 640 Sports at that point for about 3 years. It was my third job in South Florida. All I ever wanted to do was get back to New York. That's all I ever wanted to do. And I remember sitting there and doing what I do here. They also had these huge glass windows. That was on the fifth floor. This is on the second. And I took my pencil and I looked out the window. I had about 3 minutes before the commercials were over. And I remember thinking, wow, I wrote about it in my book. I talked about it. I tried all kinds of shows. I did a show with the old K-Rock with Max Kellerman. I filled in at WFAN. I've been doing these practice shows with Bernard at ABC. Wow. Am I really going back to New York? It was 11 years. It was 16 out of 20 years in Boca. The kids, Ava grew up there. Gabe was born there. It was comfortable. It was nice. Beautiful home. Florida's nice. Am I really going back to New York? And my producer, Lengel and Z-Mac, took a picture. And every now and then, when I get very introspective, I still post that picture. And I remember thinking, am I really going to do this? And then saying to myself, how can I not? Because in my book, You're Wrong and You're Ugly, which nobody read, but I wrote in 2010 with Paul Schwartz, the book ends with me asking myself the question, is this the way the book ends, or is there one more chapter in New York? And, of course, the last 8 years is one more chapter in New York, because I've done what I knew I could do. I knew, given the opportunity, given the right vehicle, John and Margo, WABC, given the right boss, visionary Chad Lopez, given the right guys on my team, Lou Ruffino, Justin Ehrlich, Noam Layden, and of course, Bernard. I knew that I was good enough and have been to make this show huge. I knew it. I knew it. So now that I've done it, and I told you that whole story about the picture that I took in West Palm Beach, I am announcing that I'm leaving New York once again.
And if I knew what went into that picture and what was going on, I feel really bad that I did
I hope
that.
You feel bad now.
Yeah. I feel a little
when
bit
I start
bad.
Doing that same thing in West Palm Beach in 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, I'll just envision you doing, turning to the window, looking out.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
you'll miss it.
And now you can rename the book. You're wrong, you're ugly, and you're the only one reading this book.
Push it to the limit.
Accident. Trust Gabo Law, personal injury and medical malpractice attorneys with decades of experience who will provide the attention you deserve and deliver the best possible results in the shortest amount of time. Gabo Law has recovered millions for their clients, and they will be able to help you. But don't take our word for it. Read their 5-star reviews from former clients on Google, Avvo, and Facebook. Call Gabo Law today, 800-560-0214 for a free consultation, or email them at info@gabolaw.com. That's GABOlaw.com. Gabo Law, where winning is no accident.